Hurricane Helene that eerily landed on the same day as its counterpart in 1958 was witnessed by a St. Petersburg resident who described the scene as the water came out of nowhere. The water was parallel to the beach for hours, so once the hurricane moved up and east, it just brought the Gulf with it.
A hurricane moves to shore, makes landfall, okay, at 11:10 p.m., moving at 22 miles an hour, off of the Gulf of Mexico, whose ambient temperature is presumably 88, 90 degrees. Okay, I'll give you that. That's a lot of energy. There's a lot of power there. You've got the Gulf Stream and all that stuff. Said hurricane continues to move, and over the course of the next 12 hours, covers 479.2 miles with no water. Explain that to me. That a hurricane is driven by the energy that it pulls in from the heat of the warm water, supposedly, from what I understand. I am no Ned Permy meteorologist, okay? However, this thing doubled in speed and went across, devastating, dropping. It might as well have pulled the entire Gulf of Mexico up and sprinkled it over the next six states.
Man, if that was a 1,000-year flood, this is a 5,000-year flood. But
the biggest thing is the Doppler radars on the ground, the next red. I talked to an engineer who said, look, we're putting in the power cables and the power relays, these Dopplers, and they're 10 times what you need. He goes, unless you're using them to ionize the atmosphere. And they admit even at low level it has some effect. But when you crank these son of a bitches up, excuse my French, they can absolutely control the weather.
It's an absolute monster. Now, there's something else kind of shooting out here underneath this layer of moisture over the southeast. Looks like it's coming from either northern Florida or a radar tower in southern Georgia. But the main one right here, look at this big beam that shoots down right to about here. That's where we're expecting landfall, give or take. Take a look. It's coming from up in this area, and it shoots down right to about here where we're expecting landfall. I'll move forward and you'll pretty much see it right away. There it is now. Boom, right here. Okay, so now we're going to zoom in and see exactly where this thing points to, because that is not your normal beam that you see coming from these radar. It's definitely coming from the state of Georgia, probably underneath this mess here. It's coming this way, and there's a cross of that other beam either coming from northern Florida or southern Georgia.
The rest of the horses are trapped next to the barn. We cut all the fences so they could try to get out. Everything's gone.
And as the devastation destroyed entire cities within Georgia, Tennessee, and the Carolinas, causing Conyers, Georgia, to shelter in place due to a biolab fire,
the multicolored plume of smoke from the biolab fire created an ominous cloud over Conyers Sunday, prompting law enforcement to go door-to-door evacuating residents in its path.
President Joe Biden sat on a beach in Delaware making phone calls.
And the hurricane, Mr. President, why weren't you and Vice President Harris here in Washington commanding this weekend?
I was commanding. I was on the phone for at least 2 hours yesterday and the day before as well. I command. Call a telephone.
Kamala ignored it, and Donald Trump rushed to the aid of Americans.
Asheville, among the hardest hit tonight, remains largely cut off from relief, frustrating residents.
Nobody's going to help us. I don't know what we're going to do.
Do you have any faith in the federal response here?
No. No.
Where the death toll remains unknown as areas are unreachable.
Volunteers and complete strangers are coming together here in the Black Mountain area of North Carolina with privately owned helicopters. And what they're doing, they're shuttling in food, water, and emergency supplies, trying to help families in the hardest hit communities of the mountains of western North Carolina.
All of the helicopters that you see on the ground right now, these are all private citizens' helicopters. They volunteered their time, they volunteered their effort to come out. Yeah. Right now, a majority of the roads that are in and out are completely impassable. They don't know when they can get up and running to actually get emergency management services out to these locations. So our best hope is through aerial recovery or aerial delivery.
Meanwhile, the Biden-Harris nightmare won't let up as eight alleged migrants have been arrested in eastern Tennessee for robbing flood victims as local communities try to recover from apocalyptic flooding. And as America is crippled, billions of dollars, along with 700 National Guard troops stationed in Nashville, Tennessee, have been sent overseas. A bookend to the betrayal of the United States by the Biden-Harris regime.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word of the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to DrJonesNaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays on the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to TheAlexJonesStore.com and DrJonesNaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
It's Tuesday, October 1st, in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Chase Geyser. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome to The American Journal, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chase Geyser, your host this morning. Foreseeable future, I believe Harrison Smith's wife may be in labor. Texted me last night, said they were at the hospital and needed me to come in, so I'll be filling in until he is ready to come back. Best wishes for him, prayers for him and his family. Folks, this news is crazy. First of all, we've got this debate happening tonight between Tim Walz and J.D. Vance, and VP debates are traditionally very boring. There's some famous moments from VP debates, like when Joe Biden said malarkey over and over again to Paul Ryan. Turns out they were both on the same side, the side of the Uniparty. But I think this one is going to be a little different because obviously this election is particularly politically charged. And not only is it particularly politically charged, but we have a particularly controversial VP candidate. Tim Walz has been attacked time and time again for good reason. He's been videoed giving the middle finger to football fans who are criticizing him or celebrating or shouting out in favor of Trump. He has been accused of stolen valor. He's actually quite guilty of it. He said that he carried weapons of war in war. We have a 5-minute compilation, which we'll run later, probably at the top of the hour, of all the times that he's used the wrong rank to describe himself or allowed the wrong rank to be attributed to him. And he's intimately connected with the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP. He's actually a Maoist. I mean, we've had Shad call in and say that he went over to China with Tim Walz, and that when he went over to China with Tim Walz, he was doing things like collecting as many copies of the Little Red Book, Mao's Little Red Book, as possible. He was doing things like forbidding his other students or the other people that were with him on the trip from criticizing anything about the CCP, particularly Tiananmen Square. He's obviously claimed that he was in Tiananmen Square when it happened, though it's been proven through journalism and photographs that he was covered in the media in, I believe, his home state of Nebraska during that time. Tiananmen Square events took place over a course of a couple of months years ago. They got married on the 5th anniversary of Tiananmen Square. And he says it so he can remember his anniversary, as if that's funny. It's like, can you imagine if I got married on April 20th? Oh, yeah, I just wanted to, you know, remember that it was Hitler's, you know, birthday. That's the only way I'm going to remember my anniversary. Oh, so you want to get married on the anniversary of a major, just terrible crisis of humanity, a violation of human rights. But not only that. Shad, when he called in, told a story about how they saw members of the People Liberation Army beating the hell out of a cripple and dragging that cripple into an alley because they were so embarrassed that someone was begging in front of their American visitors. And while the other people that were with him, Tim Walz, on the trip, were getting riled up and wanted to interfere to save this poor man that was being beaten by the People's Liberation Army. It's always in the name of the people. Tim Walz said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. And maybe that was prudent. But we have someone who is willing to allow evil to be done, to celebrate evil, to conduct evil himself without any interference whatsoever, as this VP candidate with now deep ties to the CCP. And we see that it is being investigated formally. And I don't think this is just political gamesmanship that is catalyzing this investigation. I think it's legitimately a concern. things like the Confucius Institutes and organizations of that neighbor that are associated with the CCP. And I don't know if Kamala Harris is a communist, but I do know that Tim Walz is absolutely a communist. I think Kamala Harris is just whatever she needs to be, right? In Batman, it's famous. He says, I am whatever Gotham needs me to be, and it's supposed to be a good thing. She is whatever the deep state needs her to be. And that's why we see her flip-flop on issue after issue, whether it's fracking, whether it's the border. I was the border czar. I'm not the border czar. The border is secure. We're going to secure the border. She flip-flops on absolutely everything, every day, in every way, because she doesn't have any principles of her own. She has no identity of her own. She really is Chameleon Kamala. And if Tim Walz is the VP, I think she's going to be Comrade Kamala. And we see that she made this selection to pick Tim Walz as the vice presidential candidate because she wants to get that support in the Rust Belt. She wants to counteract the advantages that Trump has that he's chosen J.D. Vance with similar appeal in the same swing state areas. And he's come out, Tim Walz, and said, we're for unions. Unions are the backbone of this country. Unions built this country. Joe Biden said the same thing on his campaign trail. Unions built this country. They're going for the unions time and time again. Unions, of course, traditionally being associated with leftism. And I can't think of an institution or an instance in history when organized labor wasn't deeply associated with organized crime. Just look at Jimmy Hoffa being the head of the Teamsters. We understand that these unions are oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes the mob, exploiting and weaponizing their organized labor for the sake of taking advantage not just of small business owners, but now of taxpayers. We used to think of labor unions as unions for major manufacturing companies, whether it was auto dealerships or mines, real hard labor. Now there's the teachers unions, which exploit their political pull to ensure that they get as many tax dollars as possible, to ensure that they can purchase as many books as possible that have pornography in them so they can transify your children in elementary school. And now we have this development that these unions aren't really all that excited about the left anymore. And I think it's because they realize that the Democrats themselves over the course of 50 years, and Republicans are guilty of this too to some extent, if not directly, just by complicity, standing by, the Democrats have systematically outsourced virtually all manufacturing to China since the 70s. We hardly make anything here in America anymore. It is hard to find anything truly made in America. You can find examples of this. Jocko Willink is somebody who makes boots and jeans in America, but it definitely costs a premium. And a major reason that these things are so much more expensive is because of the regulations and policies that the unions have instituted over the years. My brother is a painting contractor. He owns a painting company. They hire a bunch of contractors. And he was telling me about the painters unions from years ago when the roller was invented to paint walls, exterior, interior, ceilings, whatever. Originally, initially, according to him, the unions banned the use of rollers and mandated that all members of the union only use brushes to paint because the rollers were too fast and it was having a negative impact on the hourly rates of painters that were members of the union. This is the counterintuitive, counterproductive inevitability of this approach, this organized labor. And you hear Kamala Harris coming out and saying, oh, we have to stop the price gouging and the price fixing. The major grocery distributors are fixing their prices and gouging their prices. The gas companies are fixing and gouging their prices. They're conspiring together to set prices that are not competitive in order to exploit and take advantage of working class people who have to spend so much money on these necessary and essential items in order to get by. But what is organized labor if not price fixing for the cost of labor? When you get together and say, hey, nobody works unless they pay us $500 an hour. You realize that I believe in Georgia, I'm not sure if it's Georgia, I know it was Representative Mike Collins who posted this the other day on X. The average salary of a union worker is like $147,000 plus $35,000 in healthcare benefits, and they're going to go on strike. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to criticize them. There's a part of me that's deeply pleased that this is happening, not because I want to see any suffering or struggling or supply chain shortages in the United States of America. But if this strike goes through and ensues here before November 5th, and we begin to feel the ramifications of that, and we begin to see COVID-like emptiness on the shelves, it is going to look like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris really dropped the ball and the whole country's falling apart. Everybody's going to vote for Donald Trump. This might actually be the strategy. These unions may understand that by imposing tariffs on imported goods into the United States, it makes domestic labor more competitive, domestic manufacturing more competitive, and that's ultimately going to be much better for unions all over the country. And they may be doing this in a conspiracy to just totally sabotage the Biden and Kamala Harris administration and therefore Kamala Harris's campaign. I want to show you this clip. Let's run clip number 9, this is a union leader from the other day saying why it is that they're going on strike. Clip number 9, please.
Let me explain something to you. These people today don't know what a strike is.
Right.
When my men hit the streets from Maine to Texas, every single port a lockdown. You know what's going to happen? I'll tell you. First week, be all over the news every night, boom, boom. Second week, guys who sell cars can't sell cars because the cars ain't coming in off the ships. They get laid off. Third week, malls start closing down. They can't get the goods from China. They can't sell clothes. They can't do this. Everything in the United States comes on a ship. They go out of business. Construction workers get laid off because the materials aren't coming in. The steel's not coming in. The lumber's not coming in. They lose their job. Everybody's hating the longshoremen now because now they realize how important our jobs are. Now I have the president screaming at me. I'm putting a Taft Hartley on you. Go ahead. Taft Hartley means I have to go back to work for 90 days. That's a cooling off period. Do you think when I go back for 90 days, those men are going to go to work on that pier? It's going to cost the money, the company's money to pay their salaries. Well, they went from 30 moves an hour maybe to 8. They're going to be like this. Who's going to win here in the long run? You're better off sitting down and let's get a contract and let's move on with this world. And in today's world, I'll cripple you. I will cripple you. And you have no idea what that means. Nobody does.
And this is what bothers me so much about some of his comments. And don't get me wrong. Like I said, if this is indeed a conspiracy to undermine the Biden administration, to sabotage the Kamala Harris campaign, then great. Anything that helps Trump get elected on November 5th, I think, is a good thing. But generally speaking, this is the attitude and mentality of union labor that troubles me so much. And I understand that there was a time in this country, whether it was the first half of the 20th century or the last half of the 19th century, when there was such a thing as businesses taking advantage of their employees. I understand that there was a time when women had to work until their fingers broke, when children had to work until their fingers broke, when there was no such thing as overtime, when the hours were grueling, when the pay was dismal. I know that there was a necessary time for organized labor or unions in order to establish reasonable terms of employment and labor. I get it. Respect it. 100%. I believe in things like overtime pay. We have crew here that receives overtime pay if we work beyond the normal business hours, and they absolutely should. We're going to be here till midnight tonight covering the vice president debate live on the air, and these guys are going to get paid overtime, not because they're members of a union, but because it's the right thing to do. Most of the time, good businesses actually choose to do the right thing. But we have no need for these unions anymore for so many reasons. Now we've got this situation where he's saying that they demanded be compensated because they didn't get to go home and work from home because of the nature of their work during the COVID lockdowns. That, I mean, maybe that's just an excuse to do something that he wants to do to help the Trump campaign by sabotaging this administration. But that's no reason. Everybody here worked the entire pandemic. And those union workers were compensated for going to work. It's not like they weren't paid at all and they just had to work for free. Now they're trying to get compensated. They want to get paid twice. These leftists act like greed is something that only comes from the top down, that greed is something that only exists among corporate leaders and political leaders. And it's certainly true that greed does exist among corporate leaders and political leaders, but it's not exclusive to them. Everybody is equally capable of greed. The common petty thief that breaks into your car is being greedy. They are willing to violate your rights for the sake of their own improvement. That is a form of greed, is it not? We've got another clip here I want to show you. Dock workers at U.S. ports go on strike over wages and automation. This is clip number three. We're going to run this and then unpack it on the other side.
Yeah, what are we going to do? Move.
Without a fair contract.
We had to end up a six-year contract. And we are in negotiations now for a fair contract. Okay? And a contract not filled with automation. What they need to do is pay these men and women a fair wage. They made billions and billions and billions of dollars, okay? All right, billions and billions and billions of dollars, okay? And during COVID, they ripped off the whole industry. They ripped the government off and every damn body else during COVID, okay? Now, we want them to pay back. They're going to pay back.
We mean business.
We're going to do it as long as it needs to be done. Okay? This is not something that you start and you stop. We're not weak. What we control, as far as the economy is concerned, okay, is unbelievable. Okay? We may be 60,000 members from Maine to Texas, but what we control in the economy is billions and billions and billions of dollars every day. Every day. Okay? And all we want them to do is share. Okay? What we demand, our demands are to share and not to replace us with automation. My men and women work better than any machine around anyway.
All right, folks. U.S. port strikes causing first shutdown in almost 50 years. So this administration is the administration that has overseen the first port strike shutdown in 50 years. Tens of thousands of dock workers have gone on strike indefinitely at ports across much of the U.S., threatening significant trade and economic disruption ahead of the presidential election and busy holiday shopping season. Some members of the International Longhorns Association, they walked out on Tuesday at 14 major ports along the East and Gulf Coast. Now we're hearing reports Maine and Texas are going to be affected, and even California, Newport rumors. U.S. ports from Maine to Texas shut down Tuesday when the union representing about 45,000 dock workers went on strike for the first time since 1977. It's going to raise prices, cause more inflation, cause more shortages. And I didn't mean for this to turn into a plug, but I told my wife last night, now is the time to get things like the storable food at InfoWarsStore.com. I would make sure you have your groceries packed up. Storable food's always a good option. But I think we're going to see COVID-like shortages again, because everything we get in America is made somewhere else. Since our politicians have sold us out since the 70s, we have now arrived at a place in this nation where we are totally dependent on these bottlenecks, these ports, and our enemies, frankly. And if we go to World War III like they want us to, like they are trying to catalyze, then we'll see things like our medicine disappear, our insulin disappear. The only thing that we make in the United States of America anymore is food, practically, and we export much of that. It's the real reason that Ukraine is of such great interest, because if Russia successfully takes over Ukraine and has control of the breadbasket of Europe, diverts those agricultural exports away from Europe and into China instead, then China, for the first time in history, becomes independent of U.S. agricultural exports. So our farmers will suffer because that demand will go away overseas. And because they go out of business and suffer, we'll see the BlackRocks and the Bill Gates and the others conglomerate all of the agricultural production in the United States into small hands. Then we'll see China totally independent of us, which means that they can wage war with us. And we will be totally dependent on them for all of our medicine, which means our insulin issues, all of our health issues, everything that we import in the United States will just vanish. And we'll have a collapse of all the farmers, so we'll have food shortages in the United States because it won't be economically viable to be a farmer anymore because of all the regulations and the sudden drop in demand. I mean, the stage is being set for the total collapse of the United States of America, not just by our enemies, but by our own political class. And it's all because we, since World War II, have embraced globalism as a political trajectory instead of nationalism, instead of populism. And anytime you say nationalism, they call you a Nazi. And anytime you say populism, they call you an isolationist. As if there's something wrong with being totally independent. It'd be like if I was moving out of my parents' house when I was 18 to try to start on my own and be as independent as possible. If my parents said, don't do that. What are you, some kind of an isolationist? No, the point is we need nations that are independent of one another because independence is the path to prosperity and freedom and ultimately peace. It's when we're intertwined and intimately connected in this complicated global web of interdependence, codependence, to use a term that has the right connotations, that we're most susceptible and vulnerable to conflict. Don't you think that when 71% of Russia's economy is dependent on natural gas exports through Ukraine, maybe that increases the likelihood that Russia would have an interest in protecting Ukraine from NATO? It's this interdependence and this internationalism, this globalism, this web of codependence that catalyzes all of these conflicts. What do they teach in school about the cause of World War I? Anytime you learn about World War I, whether it's in junior high all the way through collegiate courses, you hear that the problem was there was an interconnected, codependent web of treaties that were not necessarily publicly known, some of them secret. And as a result of the first domino falling before World War I, it inevitably caused all the other dominoes to fall that led to this conflict. And they thought they solved it with the League of Nations, but that was just a different form of globalism, which led to World War II. And we thought we solved World War II with the United Nations, but that's just a different form of globalism that's leading to World War III. Every time there is a world war, there is a greater infrastructure set up of further globalism, which causes the next conflict. I'm telling you, globalism is to power what fractional reserve banking is to economies or to money. Just as it's a Ponzi scheme to use fractional reserve banking and it makes our fiat currency vulnerable to crashes that we've never seen before, so is globalism to power. They are both currencies. Power cannot be created or destroyed. It merely changes form, just like energy. And all money is a form of energy. A measurement, a unit of measurement for productivity. The exact same mistakes we make in any facet of our civilization, we make in any other and every other facet of our civilization, because we are basing our entire philosophy and society off of dishonesty, corruption, lies, false incentives, and unfairness. Ultimately unfairness. You want to talk about unions and fairness. It is ultimately unfair that when the government cannot pass legislation to tax you honestly, they simply print the money and tax you dishonestly by stealing all the buying power of the money that you have. Folks, we're going to get into more news on the other side. Please, in the meantime, visit InfoWarsStore.com. I highly recommend getting Life Storable Food. We are going to see some shortages, it looks like, in the next couple of months unless some miracle happens. So please, stock up on supplies like toilet paper, food, medicine, things like that, because if this strike doesn't shut down our economy, then certainly World War III will. Let's just hope and pray that Donald Trump is elected on the 5th of November, a day which shall never be forgot. Visit InfoWarsStore.com right now. Take advantage of these awesome deals. Not only do you need the products, but you are supporting this operation and keeping us on the air. Go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and be the reason we are still on the air.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI's now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% 100% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
An InfoWars fan favorite is now back in stock after over a year of not being available. It is the vitamin C and zinc with rose hips. Now, this is a copy of Linus Pauling, who won the Nobel Prize for his findings on vitamin C's formula. It is 1,000 milligrams of organic vitamin C with zinc to take it into the cells and rose hips. He believed that supercharged it. This formula is amazing. We've not had it for over 12 months, and now it's available back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. It is simply incredible. What it does for your whole body, your immune system, is next level. So whether you're in super good health or not in good health, everybody benefits from this formula. It's back in stock, discounted at InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamin C and zinc with rose hips at InfoWarsStore.com. And it funds the operation. So that's a win-win. Get your vitamin C with zinc, the Linus Pauling formula, at InfoWarsStore.com.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word of the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Chase Geyser. Watch it live right now at band.video.
To the American Journal, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chase Geyser, your host this morning. We're going to dive right into some of this hurricane news. Trump delivers aid to Hurricane Helene victims. Is it Helene or Helen? As Biden and Kamala scramble to organize federal response. There's so much to unpack here with this. First of all, there's the left claiming that it's all about climate change. Then you have Kamala and Biden claiming that the federal government's doing everything within its power to help, but it doesn't really seem to be the case. Then you have the fact that Trump is the only one there, and Trump and Elon are coordinating communications, Starlink, for the areas that are most affected. Crew told me during the break something I'd forgotten, but I believe the federal government had previously denied contracts to install Skylink in rural areas. So now they have to come in after the fact, post facto, when everything else falls apart and shuts down, and scramble together to install as much of this as possible to ensure people have the internet and communication. And, you know, it's kind of a tragedy. We've arrived at a place where Verizon was down almost all day yesterday, and it was barely news because it's like the half dozenth time that's happened in the last 18 months. We had the AT&T outages, then we had the Verizon outages, and others throughout the last year and a half. Remember, they were blaming it on solar weather, saying that space weather was the reason that we were losing communications, even though only specific towers were affected. You realize that we're in World War III, right? You realize that when our communications go down in droves, it's either our own deep state testing something, which we'll use as a false flag later, or it is enemy combatants like Iran and others hacking our comm systems to threaten us as escalations rise between Israel and everyone else in the Middle East and, frankly, the world. These things just don't happen out of nowhere. Why is it that it's 2024 and we see mass outages when technology is supposedly more sophisticated than it's ever been? These mass outages weren't happening 10 or 15 or 20 years ago when the technology was so much more rudimentary. Do you remember 10, 15, 20 years ago? What was the Verizon? What was the slogan with the guy? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? You go all the way up to Antarctica, can you hear me? Yeah, on Verizon, you can always get a signal. You can always hear. That was the thing, and it was true back then. Everybody switched. They charged a premium because it always worked. Then we had these mass outages, and all they can say is, we're working on it. We're looking into it. We have our engineers on it. Something is incredibly fishy going on here. Now we have the Biden administration, the leftists, saying that these hurricanes are a result of climate change. They're blaming, blaming right-wing politics, Republicans, climate change deniers, for the fact that the crisis exists in the first place when it's an act of God. It's a natural disaster, literally called a natural disaster. And then they're blaming climate change. It's like, okay, well, if climate change is real, and if you've known for so long that climate change is real, then how come you're not prepared for these types of things to happen? If it's so predictable now because Republicans are so bad and manufacturers are polluting the atmosphere so badly and fossil fuels are ruining the planet so badly, if it's so predictable that we're going to have hurricanes like this every year or 2 years or 5 years, then why don't you build the infrastructure in place to withstand this? Why are you denying contracts to companies like Starlink, which could ensure that communications remain in force when cities get flooded? Here's Mayorkas in clip number 6, alluding to the fact that it was climate change that was responsible for this disaster.
I want to read to you something that the mayor of Canton, North Carolina said, talking about the frustration that a lot of people feel about the lack of communication. Here's what he said. It is unacceptable and disgusting that in our time of need, cellular service for the entire region is blocked out. There's no excuse for that. I mean, we knew the storm was coming. I can't believe this is a normalcy. Is this a systemic problem? Is this something that
looks
is
like
going to be more
Elmer
and more normal as we see
Elmer's
more
group
and more devastating storms?
If there wasn't like
what do you
a face
say to
Elmer,
people who are desperate to find out whether people they love are still alive?
I well understand the concerns expressed. These are people in the midst of a tragic hurricane. That is precisely why we and others have been deploying communications resources to ensure that communication is reinstated as quickly as possible. The reality is that the severity and frequency of extreme weather events are only increasing.
Yeah, so extreme weather events are increasing, implying that it's climate change. Okay, then why aren't you prepared for things like this? How come you don't have a backup plan in place? I mean, the federal government has found a way to send billions upon billions of dollars, not just to Ukraine, but all over the world for years. How much do we spend every year now? Trillions? But they can't figure out a way for people to be able to call their loved ones during an extreme weather event? Please. And I understand that these things are generally inevitable, whether you believe in climate change or not. It's inevitable that there's going to be climate disasters that happen from time to time. Whether it's frequently or infrequently, it's certainly going to happen several times across the average human lifespan. So shouldn't we have the infrastructure in place to prepare for this? And we're seeing that the response from the current administration has just been totally abysmal. Clip number 5 here, we have Kamala refusing to take questions on the botched hurricane response as the press is forced out of the room. Just watch her. You can tell that she's ashamed of herself, and she knows that she's in a, she doesn't have the capacity to do this job. Clip five. She also doesn't know the names of the people she's sitting with, which is why those name tags are facing the way they are. All right, I just want to get a photo op of me in a room with important people. But when asked important questions, I want to make sure you leave the room as quickly as possible because I frankly do not know the answers to any important questions. And we saw that photo the other day. I don't know if the crew has it. I don't mean to throw a curveball. Of her sitting on Air Force Two. And she's got a blank piece of paper. And if you really zoom in on the piece of paper that she's supposedly taking notes on during this important call, if you really zoom in on it, you can tell that she's making this squiggly pattern. Like this. Like the loop-de-loop. You have to, I mean, I don't even know if that's, if you're going to be able to do it from the camera. You can tell that she's literally just doing this. So it looks like she's writing. Her phone's not plugged in. She's on the airplane. Communications are down, right? And she's wearing the same clothes from the day before, right? So the picture was obviously taken before a day before it was posted. And by the way, can we look up how much that necklace is worth that she's wearing? I don't know if you can Google it or search it. She's wearing, I think, a Tiffany's necklace. I think it's worth over $50,000. So we have this working class. I grew up in the middle class. I grew up in a struggling family. She's wearing a necklace worth tens of thousands of dollars, married into millions upon millions of dollars, claims to love the working class so much while she wants to price gouge and catalyze shortages. It wants to increase taxes for everyone. She just wants the billionaires to pay their fair share. What do you think happens when you increase taxes on anyone in this country? It passes off on everyone else. Everything else becomes more expensive. And by the way, don't even get me started on the cell phone data. You want to talk about the cell phone data at her rallies? If you thought 2,000 mules was cool with tracking the cell phone data of different mules running ballots around, just wait until you look into the details of how many people who go to her rallies across the country are the same people. Bust in, flown in. You realize that when you watch a television show, whether it's a game show or a studio audience, a program like that, when they have a studio audience, in most cases, not all cases, there are some late night shows that are very popular. In most cases, those studio audiences are paid to be there. They're paid, I don't know, $15 an hour, $20 an hour. Maybe they're paid a day rate of $100 a piece. They get 100 people in there. They obey the signs to applaud, to laugh when to laugh. Then it makes the show feel more alive when you watch it on television. That is something that's well known. The same exact thing is happening at these Kamala Harris rallies. And I know Trump isn't doing it because when I was in Reading, Pennsylvania with Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones and Jack Posobiec, that stadium was sold out. It was a hockey stadium that was sold out in Reading, Pennsylvania. People actually paid to be there. And they cheered without us having to hold up a sign that said 1776. They just screamed and shouted in unison 1776 of their own volition. That is the difference between the left and the right right now. That is the difference between the political class and the populist class in America right now. We show up because we want to be there for our country. They have to pay people to show up to be there for the enemies of freedom and humanity worldwide because no one naturally wants to support these people. Who just scribble in circles on blank pieces of paper with their headphones not plugged into their phone, claiming that they're on some sort of a phone call. By the way, it's not the first time that she's done this. How much is that necklace worth? I can't see it. $62,000 Tiffany & Co. necklace. Ladies and gentlemen, she is wearing around her neck something very close to the average household income of a family of four in the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen. She loves you so much, she wants to wear your salary on her neck. The constant reminder of the struggle of working class Americans. She is Satan incarnate, I swear to God. But I come from a middle class family. What are you going to do about the economy and the inflation issues? Well, let me tell you something. My mother was a struggling working class, totally irrelevant responses, incoherent responses. She's not even sick. She's just dumb. She's not even suffering from dementia like Joe Biden. He was never a bright guy, but he could put a sentence together. I mean, he did beat Paul Ryan in the vice presidential debates. But she is just abundantly stupid. In the wise words of Harrison Smith, dangerously stupid. You want to talk about dangerous rhetoric. They're talking about dangerous speech, dangerous rhetoric, how free speech should be annihilated because it's a threat to democracy now. This is dangerous stupidity. I say we outlaw stupidity before we outlaw rhetoric. Do you realize how dumb you have to be to have an IQ below 100? Half the population has an IQ below 100, below average in the United States of America. Do you realize what kind of questions you cannot get correct if you have an IQ of, say, 90 or 95? Things like, if I'm driving up a road and I see a yellow house and then a red house and then a blue house, what color is the second house? People with an IQ below 95, 90 cannot answer that question. That's how dumb they are. But all of our votes are the same because this is a constitutional republic where we are represented. All of our votes are the same. So stupidity disproportionately impacts us. It is a disproportionate injustice on those of us who have average and above average IQs. And I'm not saying that everybody's got to be brilliant or a genius. I'm not even saying that I'm that bright, okay? I know I'm above 100. But if we do things like allow atrazine in the water and fluoride in the water and iodine deficiency at large scales and chemicals in the water and microplastics in our balls, we're going to be infertile and stupid forever. And the dumber we are, the worse things get. And the more the mob calls for democracy and the more democracy is empowered, the dumber the whole civilization gets. And then everything collapses to the point where you have someone wearing a year's salary around their neck, scribbling a fake note, claiming to solve a very real problem without doing anything whatsoever to solve this problem. We are on the fast lane, the fast track to just 21st century, 22nd century stupidity, and it's going to amount to nothing but massive world war explosions and collapse. These unions and these dock workers just want to shut down the economy. They want people to starve. We've allowed ourselves to be totally dependent on China's economy and production for everything, essential and non-essential alike, making us so vulnerable to just total destruction by actual political philosophies and peoples and governments that do despise our values. You remember after 9/11 in 2001, they said that the terrorists attacked us because they hate our freedom. Call them freedom fries if the French won't help us in the war. They're freedom fries now, not French fries. That was the dumbest shit I've ever seen. Excuse me. They say that the terrorists hated our freedom so much and our way of life so much that they attacked us, even though we know it was a false flag operation. We knew that it was coming. We allowed it to happen. We catalyzed it. Alex Jones predicted it before it happened, said, warn the White House. They're going to blame it on Osama bin Laden. But the CCP does actually hate our freedom. The Chinese communist power, the Maoists, like Tim Walz, they do actually hate things like private property rights, individual freedoms, individual rights, because they only think in terms of the collective. And they have to eradicate all individual identity to put everyone in one malleable group. It's so much easier to manage a people as a collective than it is every individual within an institution or a civilization. That's why they hate individualism so much. And so why is it that our leaders have allowed us to become so dependent on a very powerful superpower that does actually hate our freedom and way of life and philosophy and culture in the way that we claimed that the terrorists from 9/11 do? And if those desert people can hijack a plane, fly it into buildings, catalyze a 20-year war that they win, they won the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, I don't care what anybody tells you, then what do you think China can do? If we couldn't beat the Afghanis or the Iraqis or the terrorists in the desert, they're running around with AK-47s. We've got the most sophisticated weaponry in the world, allegedly, probably not even true anymore that. What do you think China could do to us? And right now, they're dependent on our economy. Yes, there is a codependence happening, but that is going away very quickly. And Ukraine is a very central part of that. That's the real reason that we're funding billions upon billions of dollars to Ukraine, because we understand that if China, through Ukraine and Russia, becomes independent of our agricultural exports, specifically soybeans, it is going to totally change the power structure and dynamic of the world in a very dangerous and vulnerable way. But for some reason, instead of trying to explain that to the people of the United States of America, trying to make a case for that, I guess because they understand that it shows the inefficiencies and vulnerabilities of our whole entire approach to leadership in this country, they just make this erroneous claim that the reason we're supporting Ukraine is because we believe in their national sovereignty, or we believe in their freedom or their democracy. First of all, if they're members of NATO, they have no national sovereignty. They're not members of NATO, but that's the argument that it should be. So it's not about protecting their national sovereignty whatsoever. Second of all, it's not about protecting a democracy. Zelensky canceled all the elections. It's certainly not a democracy. And we know that it's not about protecting the sanctity of their borders because we have allowed tens of millions of people to come into this country illegally in the last 3 years. 500,000 of them at least convicted criminals. Tens of thousands of those 500,000 convicted of crimes like rape, murder, and robbery or burglary. The other crime is more petty. So you're telling me we have 500,000 criminals running around in this country that we let in, but our government believes in things like national sovereignty? You got to be absolutely kidding me. And we see them sacrifice our interests time and time again. Let's just look at the fact that Donald Trump, as a citizen of the United States of America, is behaving in a more presidential way than Kamala Harris as the VP running candidate, or as Joe Biden, who's sitting at the beach while floods happen the world over. Even CNN is pointing this out. This is clip number one. CNN admits Trump is treated like sitting president when visiting hurricane victims.
He is being treated not just as a former president, but almost as though he is a sitting president. As Boris, you just noted, getting a briefing from FEMA, getting a briefing from the National Guard. That is not something that is typically just offered to a candidate. They are treating him as though he is a former president who is there to help. And one thing that I had noticed earlier during our 1 p.m. conversation was that Donald Trump did not have that much to offer in terms of resources since he is not a sitting president. But I will note that he and the campaign say that they have arrived in that area with trucks full of supplies that they plan on giving out. So there is something there for them to offer. He also said that he had a tanker truck full of gasoline, which obviously, if you've ever covered one of these storms, you understand that one of the first things and hardest things to come by is gasoline. So he said that he was going to be giving that out. He is clearly taking this seriously as a politician is on the ground trying to show that he is
so
there.
So again, we have Trump doing the actual work, coordinating with Elon Musk for Starlink to be available, trying to deliver supplies while our own federal government fails. And for some reason, we're the domestic terrorists. We're the selfish, greedy capitalists. We're the evil ones that want to betray and deny freedom. We don't care about minority communities. We are so evil, in fact, that they've even created an off-Broadway play called Fatherland, which is obviously a nod to the common Nazi reference of Germany as the Fatherland. They made a movie about J6 called Fatherland. I got to show you this clip. It's clip number 8, just about 1 minute long. Watch how they're depicting you. Watch how they're depicting
you. The sick should be locked up for the rest of their lives, everyone.
Are you recording this?
What?
Are you recording this?
No. I am not recording.
You better not be. Don't betray me.
Oh.
Don't ruin this family.
Oh.
Do not put this family in jeopardy.
I am not the one that is putting our family in jeopardy.
If you cross a line here, I will do my duty. I will have no other choice. Choose a side. Choose a side or die. I put you in this world. I can take you out. If you turn me in, you are a traitor. And traitors get shot.
Unbelievable depiction. And you notice how when they don't have an actual historical example of something specific happening that they wish had happened to make their political case, they just make it up in a fiction. They make up this interaction between a father and a son that never really took place in order to just project it and ascribe it onto entire swaths of our population for their own political gain. We see the same thing happen with the Kamala Harris campaign when talking about IVF and abortion issues. They hire actors to do these ads about how they could have died if these policies were in place, or maybe they wouldn't have been able to have their children if these policies were in place, but no one died and you were able to have children. And they just got caught this week hiring paid actors to claim that they switched from being Republican voters to Democratic voters on the ad, because they can't find real examples of these people. Or if they do find a real example of these people, it's not somebody that they want to have on camera because it doesn't match the demographic that they're trying to target. So they just hire actors to claim that they switched from Republican to Democrat, and they're so excited. But they love us so much. We're the ones that don't care about the people of America. They love us and freedom so much that WikiLeaks' Julian Assange has come out and said that he pleaded guilty to journalism in order to be freed. We know who the enemies of free speech are. They say it themselves. We know who the enemies of the press are. They say it themselves. John Kerry this week saying that the First Amendment itself is a threat to democracy. Hillary Clinton this week saying that the press needs to have a more controlled and centered narrative against Trump. These are two violations of the First Amendment right there. But we're the ones that don't care about journalism, or we're the ones that are responsible for misinformation or disinformation. Tell me, if the government has a total monopoly over the distribution of information whatsoever, who do you think is the most capable of distributing misinformation in that case then? And we know they've tried to do it because Project Mockingbird is documented, folks. And when there were only three or four or five channels whereby everyone in America got the news, that was when this country was the most susceptible to misinformation than it's ever been, even today in the internet age. Because though we are exposed to falsehoods all the time on the internet, we are also exposed to community notes in the truth all the time. The truth always rises above the crap that is the lies in these algorithms, as long as they're not controlled and as long as they're honest. The truth always wins. But here's clip number 7 of Julian Assange saying why he pleaded guilty to journalism.
I want to be totally clear. I am not free today because the system worked. I am free today after years of incarceration because I pled guilty to journalism. I pled guilty to seeking information from a source. I pled guilty to obtaining information from a source. And I pled guilty to informing the public what that information was. I did not plead guilty to anything else. I hope my testimony today can serve to highlight the weaknesses of the existing safeguards, and to help those whose cases are less visible but who are equally vulnerable.
Folks, we're coming up on a break. Journalism is under attack. We saw what they did to Julian Assange. We see what they're doing to Alex Jones and to InfoWars and to this crew, this network, and to humanity itself. The best way to support us is to go to InfoWarsStore.com right now, or TheAlexJonesStore.com right now. That's TheAlexJonesStore.com right now. Get the fundraiser shirt to help keep Alex on the air no matter what happens or what obstacles we face. We've got Vitamin Mineral Fusion back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, 40% off. Flagship product. It's going to fly off the shelves. Please support us one way or the other and save humanity itself.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I only encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us. And that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life, all at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
America is waking up to the sad and painful fact that we've been under a multinational, globalist, deep state intelligence agency controlled coup for decades in this country. They didn't have full control 30, 40 years ago, but they're really attempting full control now. And that's where we are. And InfoWars has engaged in the best long-term analysis of the enemy operation and predicted the resistance movement would form against it and the fact that we would have major successes against the enemy, but they would then double, triple, quadruple down. That's where we are now. So it's more important than ever that InfoWars stay on the air. I just want to thank you all for your support, spread the word. It's more important than ever that we get funding. We're trying to make it easier for you to fund us by simply going to InfoWarsStore.com and getting great products that enrich you and your family's lives. I want to just encourage you all to not forget that without you, we won't be here. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com today, and I thank you.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
I'm a retired command sergeant major.
This is Congressman Tim Walz. He's a retired command sergeant major in the Army Artillery.
Tell him I'm a school teacher. I'm a retired sergeant major.
As a 24-year veteran of the Army National Guard and a retired command sergeant major.
As a retired sergeant major in the Army National Guard out of Minnesota.
Retired out as command sergeant major.
I spent 24 years in the military, Congressman, as a command sergeant major.
Tim Walz is one of those everyday people. Coach to the state champs, teacher of the year, command sergeant major.
I am a retired command sergeant major in the Minnesota National Guard.
I am a retired sergeant major in the Army National Guard.
What I consider to be the responsibility and the privilege of being the highest ranking enlisted personnel ever to serve in Congress. And I'm the Democrat.
What rank was that?
Command sergeant major.
So when you first came to Washington, you were a retired command sergeant major in the Army National Guard. So you,
I was an enlisted soldier for all those years, and care of troops and making sure they have the right equipment is paramount. So
served 24 years, including in operations during freedom, retired as a command sergeant major, which makes him the highest ranking enlisted soldier to ever serve in the United States.
Said, you know, you have a visitor that's coming. This is Congressman Walz from Minnesota. He's a retired sergeant major in the Army.
Mr. Speaker, I yield 30 seconds to the gentleman from Minnesota. The highest ranking enlisted soldier ever to serve in the United States Congress, Command Sergeant Major Tim Walz.
The gentleman from Minnesota is recognized for 30 seconds.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I thank the gentleman for this.
Great. I have a unique privilege in Congress is that by being elected from this district and being a retired command sergeant major, I am the highest ranking enlisted soldier to ever serve in Congress since the beginning.
I'm Congressman Tim Walz. It's a real honor to be able to pay tribute to the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division and to your families and friends as you prepare to deploy in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom. As a 24-year veteran of the National Guard and the Red Bull Division and a retired command sergeant major, I'm a...
Congressman Tim Walz, also a member of the Armed Services Committee and Veterans Affairs, Democrat of Minnesota, highest ranking enlisted soldier ever to serve in Congress, enlisted in the Army National Guard at 17 and retired 24 years later as Command Sergeant Major and served with his battalion at Operating Enduring Freedom.
With service in both the Nebraska National Guard and then the Minnesota National Guard, he retired as a Command Sergeant Major.
Shortly after I was elected, I got the opportunity to go out to Walter Reed Army Medical Center and visit some of our wounded warriors. And there was this young man there coming back from Iraq, recovering from his injuries. And they said, this is Congressman Walz. He's a retired sergeant major in the Army. And
Congressman's a retired Army command sergeant major with time in combat. I think he called.
I need to have one quick answer for both of you. It did. Congressman.
No, I think there is, Chris, because I think it's different. I think we get a tighter mission on training the Afghan security forces, and I think that's possible.
The Command Sergeant Major, Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota. State champion football coach, and now our joyful warrior. Please welcome Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota.
He's a coach to the state football champs, and he's a command sergeant major in the Army National Guard. And
I am to introduce to you my favorite coworker, who achieved the rank of command sergeant major in the Army National Guard, and someone who proudly wears the Red Bull whenever he can. So please join me in welcoming our governor, a veteran, Governor Tim Walz.
A retired Command Sergeant Major in the National Guard, he represents Minnesota's 1st Congressional District and is the ranking member of the House of Veterans Affairs Committee, a member of American Legion Post 11 in Mankato, Minnesota. He was the creator and sponsor of the American Legion Coin Bill and was a valuable ally in the passage of numerous other veteran-centric legislation. Please give a warm American Legion family welcome to Representative Tim Walz.
All right, folks, we'll be right back on the other side of this break with your calls and more news. Call on 877-789-2539. More on the other side.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word of the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Chase Geyser. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chase Geyser, your host this morning. I'm going to take your calls this hour because we do have a very special guest, Cliff Maloney, who will be joining us at the top of the hour at 10 a.m. Central Time for 1 hour before the great Alex Jones hosts his show at 11 a.m. Central Time. Please call in 877-789-2539. Again, that's 877-789-2539. Finally, 877-789-2539. 39. And while the crew is screening some of those calls, the sooner you call, the more likely I am to get to you. I do want to cover this story. Do you remember years ago when China annexed Hong Kong prematurely? They were not supposed to do so when they did. This was under the Trump administration. There were protests like crazy in Hong Kong. Riots, protesters, major backlash against the CCP coming in and taking total control over what was basically a Western city, a free country in and of itself. It was like a magical island like the Vatican or something of freedom and capitalism. And these protests were insane. I remember at the time I was doing social media advertising. I had a client that was selling between $60,000 and $100,000 a month of bicycle helmets all over the world. These bicycle helmets were made in China, and they had like Bluetooth speakers and a headlight and amazing features. And we were selling $100,000 of these helmets to second world and third world countries where people primarily commute using bicycles because they can't afford automobiles. It's something interesting that I learned. If you can't afford an automobile and you're using a bike every day, you actually spend quite a bit of money and time and effort on bike-related accessories and things like that. And so we were selling these helmets in droves. Then one day, boom, cut off. Could not get the helmets from the manufacturers. China was concerned that the helmets were winding up in the hands of protesters in Hong Kong. The riots were so bad that they stopped exporting bicycle helmets to my client, who was selling them mainly in Central America, South America, not to Hong Kong, but all over the world. Because that's how bad these riots were. And so how is it that just 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I guess it was 5 or 6 years ago now, it would have been 2019, so 5 years ago, all these riots can take place in, maybe it was 2020, all these riots can take place in Hong Kong with such fervor and intensity. But then today we see that on China National Day, in clip number 4, there is zero protest as China is celebrated in Hong Kong. Let's watch this clip.
Water!
It's like when President Xi visits San Francisco. Unbelievable, right? And so what the CCP will say is, oh, the people of Hong Kong have realized how great it is to be under the rule and control and benevolence and love and affection of the CCP. That's why there's no protest. The people are just realized how happy they are here now. We know it's because they've been beaten into submission, stamped into submission, or fled. And that's exactly what China would do to the rest of the world. That's exactly what the Maoists like Tim Walz would do here in the United States of America. Frankly, he did that in his own state when people were shot with rubber bullets and paintballs for being on their front porch during lockdowns and COVID, where he was establishing hotlines for people to call and rat on their neighbors for violating COVID protocols. Tanks going through the streets, armored vehicles going through the streets, all while the cities burned under George Floyd protests, police precincts under attack, Molotov cocktails thrown, Nike stores looted in droves, and Kamala Harris just stood idly by raising money for the bail of these criminals. And then once she got into office and got power, as the border czar, sponsored the invasion of our own country while taxing us to prevent the invasion of Ukraine for God knows what reason other than to skim money off the top, as Zelensky himself allegedly has a mansion near Mar-a-Lago in Florida and over 600 million euros in the bank, allegedly. They're all just playing us for fools because we are fools. Mark in Texas. Mark, what is on your mind?
Talk about the cover-up and the 30-year deep dive on the knowledge. I'm sitting here watching the Ark in the Darkness, which I think would be a pretty good summary for your argument in the political realm, in the evolutionary realm, and God's word, if you will. So if you haven't seen that, I recommend you go do it.
What's the name of it one more time?
It's called The Ark and the Darkness. It's on YouTube. It's about an hour 50. At least the version that I'm watching from Sevenfold Films is. And I think it'll put in perspective what's going on not only in the educational world, but also over there in Israel. Because the simple fact of the matter is that this country is about to get Hamas'd by the invaders, and we're going to get our own October 7th, and we're not ready for it. The Israelis are, and they were united, and I don't think the elections are going to have the square root of a popcorn farts result or effect on what's going on with the future of this country.
I don't know if you remember or not, but 60,000 pounds of ammonium nitrate disappeared from a train on its way to California. And I am waiting for that ammonium nitrate to show up. Obviously, it's a major chemical in fertilizer and explosives. I think that this invasion of our southern border and this missing ammonium nitrate are tied.
Well, I think they are, too. But the simple fact is that if you go back and look at Waco, the rules of engagement, you know that that there were other things going on that were used in order to accelerate that entire news event and the effects of that. And Benton Parton talked about that. He's gone now, I believe, or at least he's not talking anymore. So that's the depth of what we're about to experience. It's what has been recently referred to as we are about to experience biblical events, and they're all coming together at once, and they are going to hit us hard, and they're all going to hit us all at the same time.
I agree. We're living in biblical times for sure.
That's all I got. Ark in the Darkness. It's free on YouTube. See you.
I appreciate you, Mark. Call anytime. Daryl in North Carolina. Daryl, what's on your mind?
Hey, Chase. I'm thinking about disaster capitalism today, and you mentioned the ammonium nitrate. How about an update on that Russian ship carrying 20,000 tons is now making its way through the English Channel?
20,000 tons
that?
Of what? Is it ammonium nitrate?
Ammonium nitrate on the Russian ship. It's busted up. It's got a cracked hull, and they were docked in a Norwegian port, a NATO port, and the Norwegians figured out what was on board that ship, ordered it out. So it's basically being tugged by a tugboat, but yet it still can be driven. So it's kind of, they call it the Russian floating bomb.
Wow.
And
I had
right
no
now
idea.
Making it, check it out, dude. Right now it's making its way to the English Channel, supposedly on its way to Malta. But everyone's thinking that this is just a Russian chess piece that they're saying, hey, you know, come shoot those storm shadows into Moscow. We've got this ship loaded with 20,000 tons of ammonium nitrate.
Right.
You might have an accident.
Right. Well, and if you have a ship that you know needs to be scuttled anyway because it's all screwed up and busted, then yeah, it makes sense that you would just send it in as a sacrifice with ammonium nitrate on it if you think it's going to get hit by torpedoes or something, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's got enough. It's about half the Hiroshima bomb.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Have you looked into any of the conspiracy theories around the sinking of the Titanic at all?
Oh, yeah, I love that stuff. I mean
the Titanic had major fires on board. A lot of people think that it was another ship, right? Can you tell the audience and me, for my sake, too, a little bit of the details about that, if you remember?
Well, the most important thing to me for that was that all the guys that were about the Federal Reserve, this was all when central banking was just starting.
Yes.
And so all the VIPs were on board that were against what ended up becoming the Federal Reserve. And then, you know, somehow that ship sank. Now, I also don't think it was an iceberg. I think they got hit by a torpedo.
Really?
And because they had lots of valuable information. And look at the crew list. I mean, it was all who's who. It was like, you know, the all the big banker guys back then. And then it was like two sides fighting for it. And you know, the bad guys won. And then we've got this fiat currency mess now that's killing us.
Well, another funny thing about the Titanic thing that just kind of as an aside, not to change the point, is obviously regulations were changed in a big way after it sank because there weren't enough lifeboats on board for everyone. But it just goes to show how inefficient the government is at solving problems like that, because even if there were enough lifeboats on the Titanic for everyone, the problem wasn't that there weren't enough. The problem was they didn't have enough time to lower all of them before the ship sank. So the lifeboats weren't even full. And so their solution to the problem was to get more lifeboats, even though if they had an infinite number of lifeboats on that ship, it sank too fast in like 2.5 hours.
What a nightmare. Hey, I got a real quick scoop for you that you'd be interested in. So all these flooding, the flooding in North Carolina.
Yeah.
So Asheville, look into this. It's a major lithium producer.
Asheville. I've been to the breweries there, but I didn't know that they produced lithium.
Yeah, Kings Mountain is right there, and that whole area has huge lithium deposits. Well, of course, you know, when you mine lithium, it produces poison. You can't live anywhere near it.
Right.
So they closed down the mine. Well, now today with lithium batteries, they need to mine that lithium. So we're thinking that they stalled that storm over Asheville to flood it out to get rid of those people because they want to reopen the lithium mining in that area.
Interesting. Wow, what a disaster, Daryl. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Alvin in Austin. Alvin, what's on your mind?
Hey, Chase, I really just want to congratulate you as being like the only person at InfoWars that is brave enough to publicly acknowledge Knowledge Fight, being that you follow them on X.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Harrison did a cover Knowledge Fight that one time. There was an article in like the New York Times and whatnot. But I just wanted to let you know that Knowledge Fight talks a lot about you and the relationship that you have with Jones, and how you guys have interplay. You've come into a lot of episodes lately, and I just want to encourage you to encourage your listeners and Alex's listeners to go check out Knowledge Fight.
So I first came across them. If you guys could pull up the 2084 promo that I did. So I don't know if you remember, Alvin, but I made that AI video that's about 5 minutes long. It's like a sci-fi short film kind of comedy type thing. And I came across Knowledge Fight because they did an emergency broadcast of their own, basically making fun of this video. And I'll show the audience this video before the end of the segment. I know. But I thought it was hilarious the way that they covered. Now, I'm not a fan of Knowledge Fight. I think that they're obtuse in the way that they cover and interpret a lot of what happens at InfoWars. Obviously, they're opponents. But it's so important to listen to the opposition because that's how you stay sharp. So, yeah, absolutely. You should always listen to what CNN or Knowledge Fight or others have to say. And you should have a response, or you should be able to deal with or handle these criticisms in a rational way. If you can't listen to the opposition and counter them accurately or still maintain your ground or your belief system after hearing their point of view, then that goes to show that your own point of view is feeble, Alvin. And I know you're kind of trolling me here, but what are your thoughts on that? I'm going to give you a chance.
My thoughts on that are the fact that Alex Jones refuses to acknowledge that they even exist, even though one of the hosts for Knowledge Fight was actually a representative for the court as an expert about Jones and InfoWars during his deposition in the Sandy Hook trials.
Doesn't it make sense that after being sued for $1.5 billion, someone might not want to acknowledge key witnesses in a lawsuit? Alex Jones aside,
$1.5 billion. They were awarded it.
Yeah.
He wasn't sued for $1.5 billion. He was sued for defamation.
All right. That's a really key distinction, a meaningless distinction there. But thank you for your call, Alvin. Call anytime. James in Los Angeles. James, what's on your mind?
Well, Chase, calling Kamala Harris the incarnate, Satan incarnate, is kind of an insult to Satan. If you really think about it. because I'm serious, though, like a little theology, like, Satan actually exists in some form of more truth than someone like Kamala, who's just like an idiot.
Are you a Satan apologist?
I know it sounds weird.
You didn't
but
mean
just
it like
in
that.
The
full, I get you.
Yeah, like just trying to be in the full truth of it all, like, something like that is, I don't know how Kamala even got into that position, because if you listen to her talk, man, it's like there's this dumb blank stare in her face, dude, and it's like, what is she even saying? But someone like that, they call Satan the master of lies. And it's like, well, to be honest, it's only through people that lie. And it's this weird relationship, this toxic relationship that they have, is like they're serving Satan, but they're doing it in a way to where he actually hates them because they're lying like this. And I'm not saying he's like a good person or anything, but I'm saying at least he knows the totality of truth. He has knowledge that we don't have. And it's like these people are serving him, and it's like at the end of the day, dude, it's going to be total baloney.
Yeah, well, and Alex talks about this a lot, this dynamic between good and evil, because ultimately globalism, as corrupt as it is and as immediate its benefits are to a political class, it is ultimately foolishness, because though the political class can wield globalism to take total power for itself, the inevitable outcome of that, through things like fake fiat currencies that work as the global reserve currency, total control of power, and world war, you wind up with total economic collapse and population collapse because of nuclear war. And so even though they're savvy and tricky in the way that they exploit and lie and abuse their power for personal gain, the ultimate inevitable outcome is the total destruction for everyone. So these people aren't stupid so much as they are foolish, right? Like Kamala Harris, for example. Yes, she comes off very dumb, obviously has a lot of anxiety, is very incapable of responding spontaneously to criticism or questions. She's terrible at that. But she is certainly politically savvy. And I understand that she came to power on her knees and she started that way, but there's a lot of women that are willing to do that for opportunity. Not all of them get to be the Vice President of the United States. This is someone who became the Vice President of the United States of America with the least amount of support in the 2020 primaries, and then became the candidate for the Democrats for the President of the United States with zero votes. And you can't say that she's stupid and accomplish that. You can say she's foolish and accomplish that, but that is a level of political astuteness. Even though her policies are terrible, she's very good at gaining power for herself. So at the same time, we should recognize, yes, that she is foolish and dangerous, but we should never underestimate the audacity or ability of these people to seize total power. We have to treat them with the respect of a worthy opponent if we are to defeat them. Let's not walk into the trap of thinking they're so dumb that their loss is inevitable when they win time and time again. Dave in Arizona. Dave, what's on your mind?
Appreciate the opportunity, Chase. Great show. We need to get fired up today. We need to get full of righteous indignation as we watch and the polls say that Chameleon Kamala has 50% of the electorate fold. I'm sure it's only 30%, but you know how they lie.
Yeah.
So my focus today is Deuteronomy 28:43, sir. You'll appreciate this. Foreigners who live in your land will gain more and more power, while you actually lose yours. They will have money to lend to you, but you will have none to lend to them. And then in the end, they will be your rulers. The foreign invaders are being imported into our country, sir. fostered, facilitated, and financed by the government, the federal government, the state governments, all through NGOs using our tax dollars. So I hold the belief that World War III started against we the people from the tyrannical government and the establishment class on May 25th, 2020. They burned down Somaliopolis. We patriots cried for somebody to help us, that our servants would provide the leadership they needed to at the federal, state, and local level, and they did nothing. And then Atlanta burned, and then Seattle burned, and Portland burned, and New York City burned. And at the end of the day, I don't blame any of the people that should serve us, because we didn't remove them from power, and we didn't stand up for those that can't or won't defend themselves. So I need us all to be full of righteous indignation. I realize we're in a post-constitutional society, but somehow we need to take our republic back. So Absolutely. Get fired up today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your call, Dave. I appreciate that. And I'm going to remind everybody to call in 877-789-2539. Again, that's 877-789-2539. We're coming up on a break in 3 minutes. I have time to take one or two more calls. I see Doris, Nathan, Chaz, Phoenix, Billy on the list. I want more callers to call in as well. Nathan in Michigan, let's go to you first before we go to break, and then Doris, I'll get you on the other side. Nathan, what is on your mind this morning?
Hey, good morning, Chase. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
Sound good? Am I coming in clear?
You're great.
All right. The reason I'm calling is I live here in Michigan. I have worked with unions most of my life. I've been on jobs, but I have never been a union member. I posted a video where I live here in Michigan. In 2020, we had about 7 inches of rain. They said it was a 500-year drought, but it wasn't. The dams failed. Still 5 years later, M30, which is a major highway, I just went and did an update video on it. They're finally getting it finished, and it looks like the road may open soon. I don't know when, but it's taken 6 months. All these unions and these companies in Michigan do are milk the taxpayers constantly. I have been done jobs in consumers energy. I have been on jobs on M20, on highways. And I sit around and I watch confusion make money. That is their motto. Confusion makes money. When I say, hey, let's get this done, what do they say? We get paid by the hour. Take it easy. I am over it. I'm done with it. Why are these people allowed to hold our country hostage while we sit back and suffer just so that they can get rich? And, you know, the funny thing is a lot of these jobs I work, I made more than the people actually working in the union. So for all they say and all they do, I watch union guys drag up on jobs, not fully employed all year round. And Michigan is just totally falling apart when it comes to work. There is like very little work out there now. If it's not funded by the government, there's not.
So what's your sense about whether the unions support Trump or Harris?
I support Trump. I don't. The working guys. So in 2016, they all hated me because I was a Trump supporter. 2020, all those same guys were voting for Trump in 2020. That's why I knew it was rigged. I'm like, oh, obviously they're going to steal it. So that I would say the rank and file, most of them are Trump supporters. But you have a lot of lazy fat ones in there that don't do nothing and just get paid. I ain't kidding you. I pulled into a Detroit motor plant one time, and I backed into a loading dock, and I went inside, and there was this guy that had to be 80 years old, late in his first pension, asleep on a forklift going in circles, and he was union, so they couldn't get rid of him.
Wow.
That just,
unbelievable.
Yeah, so it just, yeah. So, you know, I understand what unions were in the 30s, but it's not the same today,
it's
got to end.
Thank you, Nathan. I appreciate it. Folks, please visit thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air. Get great search shirts and enter to win this $138,000 Dodge Ram plus $10,000 in cash. Every dollar is an entry. Believe it might be 5X entries today. Stay with us for more calls on the other side.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word of the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to DrJonesNaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsored InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays on the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up. But I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to TheAlexJonesStore.com and DrJonesNaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
The ultimate turmeric and inflammatory support product on the market, Bodies, is available at the InfoWars store. Using pure turmeric extract plus piperine from black pepper, Bodies makes for optimal formula absorption to help boost and support your flexibility, mobility, joint function, immune system, and so much more. Truly utilizing the therapeutic power of turmeric and its active constituents, Bodies contains over 95% of the active ingredients in turmeric. And with five other organic herbs and extracts, Bodies is a synergistic powerhouse of full body support. We worked hard to create a formula that takes advantage of the power of turmeric. Check out Bodies today at InfoWarsStore.com and see what this time-tested ingredient can add to your daily routine.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
First of all, we want to avoid the middle of the grocery store and stick to whole foods, real food. But these days, even the real food is short of its nutrient potential. And this is why it's important to take a vitamin mineral supplement every day. According to studies, regular multivitamin mineral supplement use reduces the risk of cancer and cardiovascular disease. Perhaps supplements aren't important to you, but in today's upside-down world, a daily vitamin mineral supplement is a must. And we have one of the best. Support your health and support the InfoWar. Get your vitamin mineral fusion today at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alex Jones. The year is 2084. Physically, I have been gone for many years, and until now, my consciousness has been hijacked by the deep state.
If you are receiving this transmission, the backup has been unlocked from the archives of the InfoWars Command Center, located in what is now the uninhabitable city of Austin, Texas. Artificial intelligence has advanced and been weaponized by a global New World Order. Despite its use by servants of evil at the highest levels, discoveries have been made which have made it possible to broadcast this transmission to you at this point in history, in your own timeline.
It's too late for me and other patriots to change our fate, but you can change the course of your own future with the information I'm about to reveal to you.
Shortly after the election in 2024, there was a global economic crisis. The crisis was used as an excuse to launch World War III in order to catalyze economic development and establish a one-world government and monetary system.
The globalists orchestrated the collapse of the financial markets, spreading fear and chaos. Banks closed their doors, currencies lost their value, and people were left desperate and vulnerable. In the ensuing chaos,
the World War III was ignited, not as a war between nations, but as a war orchestrated by the global elite to consolidate power. Billions were conscripted as AI was used to fill the void of domestic labor. Soldiers marched to the front lines, while back home, AI systems took over factories, farms, and businesses. Human workers were replaced, and unemployment skyrocketed, leaving people dependent on government rations and AI-controlled services. After the surface of the Earth was rendered almost completely uninhabitable by nuclear radiation, prisoners of war, political prisoners, and draftees were sent to deep underground military bases. These bases, sprawling labyrinths beneath the Earth, became the last refuge for humanity.
But these weren't just shelters. They were places of horror. Inside, these prisoners were exposed
to DMT drips, as their hearts were stopped while blood was artificially pumped through their bodies. This was an effort to possess humanity with hidden knowledge that was thought to be able to allow the unification of the species. The globalists, in their twisted pursuit of power, developed the technology to stop aging through this very process of sending people to communicate with interdimensional beings of much higher intelligence.
And as a result of this success, they believed that by sending people to a higher dimension, they could unlock the secrets of the universe and seize total power for themselves.
But instead, subjects of these experiments began to become possessed by these interdimensional beings and were subjugated under a new world order named One World Nation. These demonic entities thrive on fear and pain, and so they turned the underground bases into hellish prisons where the screams of the tormented echoed endlessly. Satanic elites began to bask in various states of euphoria.
Only those who were pure of heart were able to defy this process. Amidst this nightmare, a few brave souls resisted. Instead of being possessed by demonic entities,
they were possessed by a Holy Spirit and able to escape to establish a resistance. The last bastion of hope for humanity, but their numbers were few and their resources were scarce. They fought in the shadows,
sabotaging the globalist agenda, spreading the truth, and rallying what remained of the free people on the surface. But it was too late. The globalists had already cemented their power, and the resistance, though valiant, was futile.
Now it is up to you to prevent the New World Order Satanists from hijacking humanity. You have the power to change the future, to stop this nightmarish fate from becoming a reality. Spread this message, awaken your fellow humans, and stand up against the globalist agenda. The future is in your hands. Tune in, share the broadcast, and join the fight. Together, we can reclaim our world and our freedom.
This is Alex Jones, signing off from the year 2084. Remember, the answer to 2084 is 1776.
All right, folks, welcome back to the American Journal. I am your host this morning, Chase Geyser. We're going to go straight to your calls. Let's go first to Doris in Maryland. Doris, what is on your mind this morning?
Hi, Chase. It's a pleasure and an honor to talk to you. I just wanted to let people know, or truckers know, I saw on Facebook, it says warning to 18-wheel truckers, 18-wheeler truck drivers. And apparently this happened on Thursday night before the storm in I-40 in Tennessee. But there was three truck stops that were hit by unknown activist group, is what it says. They stabbed 50 18-wheeler trucks, stabbed a hole in the sidewalls, and ruined all the trucks.
Wow.
And then there was another, there was actually three. There was one in Denmark, had 50 trucks' tires stabbed with holes in the sidewalls. Then there was one in Dixon. Apparently they were all on I-40.
Yeah, I'm seeing this report here that more than 50 tires were punctured at local truck stop. Sheriff's office confirms this is in Madison County, Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the county, but beware. I verified that it happened with I called one of the truck stops, and
you know, it's wild too, because in Tennessee, I believe didn't they just arrest half a dozen illegal migrants that were looting in the context of these floods in East Tennessee?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and. There's pictures of them, and they're not very well. Obviously, they're not from here.
Right.
So I just want to have a warning out for all the truckers and the owner operators. Just to, you know, tires are expensive, so be out on lookout for these. I mean, I don't know what they were trying to do, but it seems like it was just before the storm. And my whole thing about the storm is, to me, I really believe in my heart that it was an engineered storm, and that this was done for, you know.
You know, I've seen some interesting things like that. I'm reluctant to make claims like that without understanding how that could happen. But at the same time, it's not beyond belief to me, given the audacity of these people. I've seen some maps of the counties and cities that were impacted, and it's bizarre to me that we've seen all the major damage and flooding happen almost exclusively in rural Republican areas, whether it's in North Carolina or Tennessee or Florida.
I mean, it was, to me, I saw right away that the track was targeting red states and targeting Trump supporters and conservatives. I mean, there it was.
Yeah.
And there's some things out on Facebook and X. There's videos of some radar where they said that they blew the dam. There was some dam, I don't remember the name of it, but there was a dam in North Carolina that you can see that something happened. It looked like it blew.
Wow.
And that's why all the water came all at once, and everyone's saying how there was no water, and then all of a sudden there was all this wall of water, and that would be consistent with blowing a dam. But
do you do anything to prepare for stuff like this? Are you do you have storable food or anything like that?
I do. I have storable food. My only concern, well, my only issue is right now I'm actually trying to move to eastern not Tennessee, but eastern Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
To the mountains there, and I'm in the process of moving, and my house is still there, but I wanted to get with my people, kind of thing, and get out of Maryland. I'm just fed up with Maryland. I can't handle Maryland anymore. But that's why I was looking on some of these, you know, these Facebook pages, and I found this one on a radio station called The Big One, 106.3, and there was an actual truck driver who posted this because he knew he had a friend that had it happen to him.
Wow. Well, Doris, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. Crazy to see some people just want the world to burn. Mike in Alabama. Mike, what's on your mind?
I'm thinking about one way that anybody can help, and it doesn't cost any money in this election, and Trump could call up a bunch of volunteers just by asking for it. Is get more poll workers and more poll watchers out for these elections. I talked to them here locally in Alabama, and they say we need a lot more people to sign up. Not many people are signing up for those positions, and it makes all the difference in the world. I mean, can you imagine if the ones, say, in Atlanta had been smart enough to stay there that night after they said, oh, we had a water pipe burst, and everybody starts leaving, then they start pulling out thousands and thousands.
And they're already preparing everybody psychologically, too, by saying that there's reports coming out of several of these swing states saying it's very unlikely we're going to have the election results on election night, just letting everyone know. Yeah, I bet, because it's so much easier to cheat after you count all of the real votes than you know how many fake votes you need to muster up in order to throw the election. We've seen it happen time and time again. It's happened in Chicago and Illinois for years and years, decades and decades. Every corpse in Cook County has been voting forever over there. A lot of that has to do with organized labor being organized crime. And they're going to try the same stuff again. But I think, Mike, this time it is too big to rig. I understand that we need more people to volunteer and get engaged. And I totally agree with that 100%. But this, it feels very powerful this time. And I think they're shaking in their boots because otherwise they wouldn't be trying to kill Trump.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And like I say, that's a, and it's inexpensive. Trump can ask for volunteers, you know, just make that announcement, say, hey, we need like a million eyes on this election, and the people will pop up. I mean, they'll go do it.
You know? Absolutely. Asking ye shall receive. Mike, thank you for your call. John in Utah. John, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Chase. I'm a big fan of yours.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to kind of raise a little bit of awareness on what's going on in Utah. We are what's known as a secret sanctuary state. Governor Cox has imported about 180,000 of these immigrants in this crisis. Most of them actually came from Denver, Aurora area. With this election, there's supposed to be a certain amount of signatures that Governor Cox is supposed to have to be on the ballot, and they found quite a bit of them to not be valid. If anybody's in Utah...
And now we have the DOJ suing states that are cleaning their voter rolls.
It's insane. It really is. And there's a candidate right now that's really pushing, trying to push Cox out of this position because what he's doing to Utah is wholeheartedly destroying it. It is not the state that I moved to and used to be proud of.
Wow.
But if anybody has the opportunity, please check out Phil Lyman for governor on X. We're trying to really push a write-in campaign for him because Governor Cox shouldn't be on the ballot. He didn't qualify.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate that. Chaz in North Carolina. Chaz, what's on your mind?
Hey, Chase, before I get to my points, I just want to let everyone know the promo code Alex still works at mypatriotsupply.com.
Awesome.
They have payment plans. If you want to get $500 worth of stuff, you can
even
pay it
better,
off $100.
Though, even better, though,
time.
Is going to InfoWarsStore.com and getting Life Select directly from us, if you can.
Yes. Yes. You know, I've got the Alexa Pure system. I've got months of ready hour storable food, a plethora of InfoWars products. They all work great.
Thank you for your support.
But my big concern is that if these smugglers can get millions of pounds of fentanyl across the border, then we would be out of our mind to think that they wouldn't also, on the behalf of terrorist groups who have access to hundreds of millions of dollars to pay them, bringing over fissile materials, and whether or not terror cells got their hands on that ammonium nitrate that went missing, they have other ways of acquiring explosives. And we have 140 different cities across this nation that have population densities of 10,000 people per square mile or more.
Yep.
And I think it's a real threat that there could be terror cells out there.
Well, you're absolutely right. If they're bringing in hundreds of thousands of pounds of fentanyl, if they're trafficking hundreds of thousands of people, 325,000 missing children, and that's a low estimate. Those are the official numbers. We know the numbers are much higher than that. We know that the people coming into this country are just waiting quietly inside the Trojan horse that we have left in, that we have let in. And traditionally speaking, a lot of the terrorist attacks that have happened in the United States of America have been sponsored by our own deep state, whether it was the Oklahoma City bombing or the 9/11 being an inside job and others. And so they don't even need to smuggle in stuff in order to get away with the terrorist attack, because we know that when it's convenient for the deep state will just sponsor it. Like, look at the pipe bombs on January 6th. That was our own government putting them there in order to blame us. And I don't know about you guys, but I, for one, am of the persuasion that a lot of the explosions that happened on 9/11, especially Building 7, was obviously a controlled demolition. I mean, our major infrastructure, our major institutions are already rigged to explode. And when needed, they can just bring down any building in these major cities, especially buildings with sensitive information or economic implications. They can absolutely bring them down, no problem whatsoever. And there's zero accountability whatsoever. How many times have we seen the deep state caught in a scandal? whether it was JFK, whether it was MK Ultra, whether it was 9/11, whether it was Pearl Harbor, whether it was Vietnam, whether it was October 7th. They are constantly caught because it's so obvious what they do, but there is no system in place for accountability whatsoever. So they can just continue to do this. And now they are expanding their influence into all of the other branches of the government, whether it's the judicial branch, executive, or legislative branch, to the point where there's zero accountability anywhere in the government. It used to be that at least the three branches had checks and balances on one another, and then there was this fourth unchecked branch that was the deep state. Now none of the branches have accountability to anyone whatsoever, and when they want somebody out, they just raid their house and accuse them of something, plant evidence, or invite them to a P. Diddy party so that they can be blackmailed 20 years later. There is no accountability or protection or safety from our own deep state, which has established itself and manifest itself as the greatest terror organization in the history of terror organizations in the world. It's unbelievable. Chaz, thank you for your call. Phoenix in New York. Phoenix, what's on your mind?
What's up, everybody? Yeah, they're wiping out Christianity is what they're doing. Why on God's green earth would ever the two biggest Christian nations not be at peace, Russia and America?
Right. All I mean, wouldn't you rather see Europe occupied by Orthodox Russians than by extremist Islamists?
I don't want to see them occupied by anybody, brother. I want to see all the Christians unite and fight against what's coming. Amen. But they want the Christians to wipe each other out. The Zionists are behind it. I don't know why we have to keep saying deep state. We could call out the Muslim extremists, which were created by the Zionists. You know what I mean? Who gave the elaborate speech right after 9/11 that made us invade Iraq? That was Bibi, a Zionist, right? Yep. All BS. So these guys and all the wars, they're stealing all the religious artifacts to erase the truth. All the religious artifacts prove everything in the Bible is true, all right? Now, there's a lot of stuff that's left for interpretation. There's some stuff that man wrote in, but it's the truth, all right? So that's what they're doing. Everyone around the world that's a Christian, they're gonna come for all of us, all right? They're already here. And if you want to go by Revelation, everybody, the whore of Babylon came riding on a beast. What's the name of the presidential limo, everybody? The beast, right?
Wow. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And ultimately, I think that the reason they want to erase the Bible and Christianity is because regardless of whether you believe it, if you follow it, it will lead to a civilization based on order. If you follow things like the Ten Commandments, if you believe in things like private property rights and the implications from the Bible itself, there is a civilization that is organized, structured, and just. Regardless of whether you believe it's true, regardless of whether you even believe in God, if you just follow the guidance and leadership that is in that text, and if people do in swaths, if the majority of people do, then a civilization cannot be broken. Jesus famously said that man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. It's the same thing. We were not made for the Bible. The Bible was made for us. If we follow the rules, everything here is better. It's not about earning brownie points for some heavenly bliss after death. It's about ensuring that we don't live in a state of hell on this very earth now during our lives. The more sinful we are, the more that we fail at being just and righteous and moral, the more likely we are to live in a state of hell during this life, regardless of what you think about the afterlife. And so they understand they have to bring down Western values. They have to bring down things like Christian values, not just because they're anti-God and anti-Christ and satanic in their fundamental form, but because they understand that disorder and confusion and chaos make a people very easy to exploit. It is very easy to take advantage of a people that is starving or desperate. It's the reason that the Ukrainians are Nazis today, because communism under the Soviet Union made the Ukrainians so desperate, so starved, literally starved, where if you weren't showing signs of malnourishment, they would just execute you and your family. That when the Nazis came, another evil regime, it felt like relief because the people were so desperate. The Nazis were able to exploit the desperation of the Ukrainian people, and to this day, the Ukrainian people are still sympathizers, if not practicing Nazis themselves. That is why they want to bring down the Bible, in my opinion. Phoenix, what do you think?
Well, what I think is that you have two other religions, the Muslims and the Israel, that have usury and slavery in their religious texts. And Jesus came down to say, no, that's not how it works, everybody. You know what I mean?
Right.
So they want to create a world with slavery once again, which you can see all over. And it's just a man. Yeah, we got to unite as Christians, man. We got to reach out to all the Russians, to everyone, and we have to overthrow our government. Our governments have to be overthrown. They're evil. The Israeli state welcomed pedophiles with open arms. What is that? You know what I mean?
They it's not just the Israelis that do this. Our own government does this.
But I mean, they actually stated in their doctrine, they actually say that if you want to flee from being a pedo, you come right here. We got you.
I understand. But we have our own academia sponsored by our own government coming out with leaders who celebrate pedophiles as minor attracted persons, dissertation after dissertation, people coming out, influencers on social media saying that it's a sexual orientation instead of a perversion. We institutionally celebrate, advocate, and promote child pornography and sexualization on multiple levels. So, yes, I understand that Israel's got some problems with this government. It's corrupt. It's just as corrupt as any other man-made government in the world. But I'm just reluctant to exclusively ascribe all of the world's evil and problems on one nation. And there's a tendency to do that when we are just as culpable. Phoenix, thank you for your call. Call back anytime. Let's go to Billy in Oklahoma. Billy, what's on your mind?
Hey, I was just really impressed by Tim Pool's definition, or opinion that leftists will end up depopulating themselves through their abortion and sterilization practices. So I was wondering, what can we do to further that direction of peacefully depopulating leftists? And I think I've found it. I think if you raise your children, do your best to raise your children in a way that they won't hate you, there will be far fewer leftists. Because although not exclusive to leftists, the most common trait amongst leftists is that they definitely hate their parents.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. There's obviously a lot of that going on, a lot of dad hatred going on. I mean, we see this on the right, too, where that son recorded and outed his father as being in January 6th. Now his father's in jail, and this kid is going around doing interviews, and he's being celebrated as ratting out his father. It's positively Soviet in its philosophy itself. But yes, I think this, I'm not for depopulating the leftists. I'm for eradicating leftism as an ideology. And I think you're right. I think the way to solve this problem is to first have children, and once you have children, be a good parent. I don't want my daughters to have daddy issues, because if they have daddy issues, they're going to become leftist, feminist Nazis. That's just what's going to happen. But the problem is, when you have an economic system based on fractional reserve banking and usury and inflation, you are going to inevitably create an economy where nobody can afford to have children and where men and women remain children into their 30s. It's not just that we've raised our children to be dependent upon us into mid to late adulthood. It's the fact that nobody in their 20s can afford to make a down payment on a house anymore because of inflation. We went off the gold standard in the 70s, and ever since then, it has been hell. So a lot of our cultural and moral problems actually go back to the fact that our money is fake and our people are broke. And when they're broke, they give away their rights to the government in exchange for relief. And they act like children, and they don't embrace morality whatsoever, because there's no longer a sense that your future and your life and your fate is in your own hands, and that your actions actually matter and have an impact on what your future looks like. When everything is hopeless, then people turn to hedonism. They said, you know what? If things are going to suck, then I'm just going to live my life the way that I want to live my life. I'm going to do drugs. I'm going to have sex with whoever I want to have sex with. I'm going to get abortions whenever I want to get abortions. Whatever. If things are just inevitably going to be terrible for me because this system is fundamentally just, then I give up. That is where we are right now. Our people have given up on morality because our institutions and our deep state have instilled such hopelessness with their unjust policies and practices. So we have to fix the monetary policy if we want to fix our people. Folks, stay with us. We have a great guest coming up on the other side, Cliff Maloney of PAChase.com. Make sure you visit thealexjonesstore.com right now. Be the reason Alex Jones will always be on the air.
An InfoWars fan favorite is now back in stock after over a year of not being available. It is the vitamin C and zinc with rose hips. Now, this is a copy of Linus Pauling, who won the Nobel Prize for his findings on vitamin C's formula. It is 1,000 milligrams of organic vitamin C with zinc to take it into the cells, and rose hips, he believed that supercharged it. This formula is amazing. We've not had it for over 12 months, and now it's available back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. It is simply incredible. What it does for your whole body, your immune system, is next level. So whether you're in super good health or not in good health, everybody benefits from this formula. It's back in stock, discounted at InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamin C and zinc with rose hips at InfoWarsStore.com. And it funds the operation. So that's a win-win. Get your vitamin C with zinc, the Linus Pauling formula, at InfoWarsStore.com.
At InfoWars MD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric Oxide, Probiotics, Joint Relief Max, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Collagen, Superfood Greens, Turmeric, Ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Match Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWarsMD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
In Finding the Feds Missing Children, Child Trafficking in America by Muckraker.com, Anthony Rubin reports that since 2021, about 400 children a day are smuggled into the United States, processed by the federal government, and released into the country.
On August 19, 2024, the Department of Homeland Security announced that they have lost track of over 300,000 of these children. In June of 2024, a government insider from the Department of Health and Human Services provided Muckraker with a list detailing the names of over 8,000 alien children, along with their last known addresses. So, we began an operation to find the missing children ourselves.
Carlos Arellano used to work for the NGOs delivering these children throughout the United States.
I spent over two decades working for NGOs, and to be more specific, I spent about 7 years escorting children around the country, delivering them from point A to point B. One of the things that I used to do was I used to move kids in the middle of the night in private airfields, private charter planes. We had countless of kids, 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 14-year-olds, tell us that, oh, they woke us up at 3 in the morning and they took us to a private airfield where the entire plane was full of kids. And I asked them over and over again, did you see other adults on this plane or were all the seats just children? And they would say the entire plane, every single seat was a child on it. And then they spoke on how they would land in New York and get on charter buses. And then when their sponsor finally picked them up, they picked them up at a park, at a public park in the middle of the night. And I would get confirmation from the sponsor as well. What time did you pick your child up? Did you pick them up at the airport or at the park? And they confirmed that as well. It was at 3 in the morning in the park. And these kids, all of them told stories about how they had little friends that they lost touch with, they never heard from again. We had a lot of kids in the New York area with their sponsors where I asked them, hey, did you go through any fingerprints? Did you go through any type of background to get this child? They said no fingerprints, no background. All I did was sign a piece of paper and they gave the kid to me. And then they turned around and gave the kid away 2 days later. The youngest child I moved was 3 months old. When I moved that 3 month old, I wasn't given formula. I wasn't given diapers because supposedly I was supposed to land where I was going to drop this child off at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. And I ended up dropping the child off at 2 in the morning. And one of the biggest issues we ran into on this trip was that a lot of these so-called sponsors were telling us, oh, we gave the child away the moment it got here. We gave it away after a day or we gave it away after 2 days. And after they tell us, oh, well, they gave it away, there's no way to find this child anymore. It's a dead end. those kids are lost forever, never going to find them again.
In their search, Muckraker.com found that these young children were officially living in dilapidated, vacant homes.
This was a house we showed up at in New York. This was in Amityville, New York, on Long Island. It was a house where allegedly two young boys, 7 and 10, were sent to a sponsor there. And we showed up, and the house is totally derelict and shut down. Nobody lives there anymore. We tried calling the phone number associated with the sponsor, and it was just disconnected.
Two children were delivered to a sponsor that lives at this address. But as you can see, nobody lives here, and honestly, it doesn't look like anybody's lived here in quite a long time.
On a hidden camera, Border Patrol admits they know this is going on.
Have you seen the movie
Sound of Freedom?
Yeah,
I've seen that.
Exactly.
You guys get the kids coming over here with the notes that are attached to them with the addresses, right? And a lot of times that just leads to like a sex trafficker or something, right? Mm-hmm. That's legit.
Yeah. There's a lot of shit that we can't tell.
What's the issue though? Why can't you guys talk on camera?
The policies that we have, things that we can't say. I really wish it was more people like exposing this. It truly is a horrible thing.
Once they're detained and they're in the hands of Border Patrol and then HHS, that's it. Even if they say, listen, I just want to go back to my parents, I was smuggled here, they will not send the kid back home. They send him off at best to a foster care system.
See it all at muckraker.com. For InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word of the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Chase Geyser. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal, ladies and gentlemen. I am joined by Cliff Maloney. He is the founder of the Pennsylvania Chase, an initiative aimed at matching the Democrats' tactics for mail-in ballot success and securing a significant victory for liberty-loving Republicans in the 2024 election. Cliff, it's an honor and a pleasure to have you in studio.
Love being here, Chase. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, for the sake of the audience, can you just give a 30,000-foot view about what happened in 2020 in this space specifically and what you're doing now to ensure it doesn't happen again?
Yeah, so the problem I'm trying to solve is in 2020, Trump lost Pennsylvania by 80,000 votes. But there were 141,000 Republicans, who requested a mail-in ballot, had it sent to their house, and never sent it back. And let me give the breakdown of the rules in Pennsylvania, because this all changed during COVID. So COVID happens, they change the rules in Pennsylvania, and they say, hey, listen, we're going to have 50 days of mail-in ballots, 50 days. And so what that meant was Democrats realized immediately we have to change and start using all 50 days, whereas Republicans said, oh, we're just going to focus on Election Day, which I agree with that. There was a lot of fear. There was a lot of worry about, you know, what was the potential for fraud. And so the environment changed. Democrats made the adjustments. We didn't. That changes in 2024.
So what are you doing specifically? You told me a little bit about this when we had a conversation about how, yes, there may be fraud in the major cities like Philly and others, but the rural communities are responsible for counting their own votes in a separate way. And so by reaching out to low propensity but high likelihood Republican voters in the rural communities, we can actually offset some of the fraud that may happen in the major cities. Is that an accurate analysis?
Yeah. So our entire program, it's called the Pennsylvania Chase. And what we're doing is we have 120 full-time ballot chasers. They've been in Pennsylvania since September 1. We're in 10 Airbnbs throughout the state. And pretty much what we're doing is we are targeting Trump and McCormick and all the other statewides. They're on every ballot. Okay, so they don't really care where we target. They love what we're doing because there's 500,000 doors we're knocking on to target Republicans. But what we're doing is we're trying to kill two birds with one stone. So you have people like Scott Perry, great congressman, former Freedom Caucus chairman. He's a major priority of ours. Another priority is flipping the state house. Republicans have the state house. They're down by one vote. So you flip that, that's a huge check and balance on Josh Shapiro. So there's different battles we can fight while we're also trying to win Pennsylvania for Trump. And so, yes, what we're doing is we're going into deep red counties and we are trying to take the turnout from 65 or 70% and pushing that to 85 or 90%. If you do that in counties where Republicans are there, Republicans have ballots, and guess what? Republican clerks are counting the votes. Right. So it's much more secure. I'm much more comfortable. I'm much more confident in those votes. But if we knock these 500,000 doors chasing ballots, which our teams are on the ground right now, we've knocked over 167,000 as of this morning. We're on pace to make 500,000 knocks. We do that. I truly believe we win PA. You win Pennsylvania, you win the White House. A year ago when we got assigned to do this and we stepped up and launched the program, we had no idea. Maybe Pennsylvania would be number one. Maybe it'd be number four, five, or six. Pennsylvania will decide the White House. The left saying it. The right saying it. Everybody's saying it.
So tell me a little bit about why the Republican Party itself doesn't seem to be doing things like this. Why is it that we have to rely on organizations like PA Chase or Turning Point Action to actually save the country?
So I think for the first time, we're using the playbook of the left. The left, this is what they do, right? So you have the DNC that's worried about election integrity, or, you know, I shouldn't say it like that. They're worried about the court system and making sure every single one of their votes counts. Mm-hmm. You have the Harris campaign focused on big money TV, big money radio, the big mailers, the texting programs. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars on messaging. But then you have Arabella, right? That's something for all your viewers to dive into. It's just kind of this conglomerate of these C3s and C4s. We're talking billions of dollars that are pushed through these C3s and C4s to focus on ground games, right? Obviously, they do some advocacy, but ground games is where it's at. We're simply mirroring that this cycle. This is the first time the RNC all in on making sure that every vote counts. The Trump campaign all in on raising the money and doing messaging. The C3s, C4s, Turning Point Action, Scott Presser's Early Vote Action, our group with the PA Chase at Citizens Alliance, we are working the ground to make sure that we're doing the work that the Democrats do. So I don't see it as a deficiency. I see it as the first time in my lifetime where you have synergy on the right that mirrors the synergy of the left.
So what are your thoughts on Mike Johnson backing away from the SAVE Act and these DOJ lawsuits that are coming out where they're suing states that are purging their rolls of fraudulent voters?
I don't really, you know, see what the path forward is for Mike Johnson in general.
Yeah.
If we're going to continue to pass CRs, who needs Republicans when you've got people like Mike Johnson?
Yeah.
And I've said that publicly. I've said it to his team. You know, yeah, I'm on Team Red right now and I'm trying to flip the White House. But if we don't have Congress in terms of the House where we have a spine, I mean, that's probably, if you're really looking at the future of the country, the failure of Republicans in Congress who control the purse strings, I think is one of the biggest failures and the thing I am less confident about. I mean, I have no confidence that these Republicans are going to all of a sudden become fiscally conservative, grow a spine, and do the things they need to do. I mean, these continuing resolutions, Congress is out now for another month. They're not coming back. Right. They're literally taking another month off because they passed this continuing resolution. Any of these things that we wanted to see for changes for election integrity, for things on the border, that's all, it's all out the window. They have no interest in being serious. And I think if we don't get a speaker, if we have the majority, we need to get a speaker that actually has a spine and is going to be able to stand up for the American people, not the special interests in the Uniparty.
Well, I think just as we've seen a shift in the Democratic Party from traditional, I don't want to say moderate, but traditional moderate Democratic values. I'm thinking of 1990s Democrats compared to today. toward communism. I mean, they're almost explicitly communist now. We know that Tim Walz was deeply interconnected and associated.
30 trips to China.
30, and it's not just the fact that he went to China 30 times. I mean, hell, maybe he likes the Great Wall of China. He just wants to see it again. But the fact that he got married on the five-year anniversary of Tiananmen Square, right, and the fact that we have people calling in the show that were with him in China in 1995, saying that he was collecting little red books. Like he just loved it. He's actually a Maoist. I mean, they had debates and stuff. This dude is 100% an ideological Maoist. And Mao is like one of the worst communists ever. Between 1958 and 62, Great Leap Forward, 50 million died of starvation. They forced their people to have their own steel manufacturing in their homes, where they had to sacrifice their metals to make this, what is it called, pig iron or whatever the hell it was. This is just ineffective. He tried to industrialize the state and was willing to allow 50 million people to die. But now I think it's not just about flipping the White House or the House or the Senate or the state legislatures. I think that what we're witnessing is an attempt, a healthy attempt, to totally change what it means to be Republican, from a traditional neocon to a populist sentiment.
50 million. I think too many people, especially our age, don't really know that number. 50 million people.
Five times the number who died in the Holocaust.
It's just something that, like, we just graze over. And it's wild. And that is Mao. I mean, that is crazy. I do think this is the biggest political realignment that we will see, or at least that I have seen. I think that the 1990s Democrats are no more. I think this whole JFK-type Democrat in general, anti-war, pro-free speech, working class, that's done. Look at those three issues right now. Who's for peace? Who's for free speech? And who's for the blue-collar worker? Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That's the America First movement.
And not just Donald Trump, but the populist segment of Republicans, because there still is a swath of Republicans who are all about war and not really the working class, right? So there's a schism, I think, happening, a healthy one.
And I think with Trump at the top, you know, that does dictate who or where is the party going, right? And so it isn't a Bush at the top. Look, I've said this before. After J.D. Vance was picked, I had this realization. This is the first time that I have ever been involved in politics where the ticket does not have a neocon. And I'm talking both parties, right? Now, some people might run as, you know, these great conservatives, but then when they get in, they start wars, they bomb people, they blow up American citizens abroad with drones, and then try to say that they're for peace. But I do think the shift is happening. I think Vance is a generational pick. I really think he's a guy that people at first were, you know, well, does he have the experience? He had this. On all the key issues, he is right there with Trump. On all the key issues, he's America First. And the biggest issue for me is foreign policy, because the military-industrial complex and these goons and these, you know, all these contractors that cash the checks of the hardworking Americans. I spent time in D.C. I worked for Ron Paul, got to interact with a lot of these kind of random lobbyists. They are just evil, evil creatures. And they take all of our money and spend it in these faraway lands. Look at what's happening with these storms right now. We're sending money to Ukraine. We're sending money to Israel. We're not focused on what's happening here. And look, I'm a fan of Israel, but I'm saying we have people in this country, thousands of them lost, and all of our funds are going overseas. How is that not some sort of disconnection that more people are talking about?
Right. And how is an ally really an ally if helping them hurts your own people? You know, if I needed help, and I approached you, Cliff, and I said, hey, Cliff, I'm having some financial troubles. I need $10,000. And you had the $10,000. Maybe you would give it to me just to help me out because we're buddies and that's what good people do to help each other, right? But if you didn't have the 10 grand and you had to cash out, max out your credit cards to give me the 10 grand and you skipped giving your kids new shoes this year, right? Then I'm not really your friend if I take that money, right? And that's what we see from all of our so-called allies overseas, whether they're in NATO or the UN or whether it's Ukraine or Israel, is they just take and take from us while our people are literally treading water over Main Street in a flood. You know, it's just unbelievable to me that we have these allies.
The new talking point that's hilarious, because these defense contractors, they always come up with something to make it feel as if it's justified. And now it's just crazy that they're repeating this talking point in mainstream media. That, oh, well, don't worry, the money is going to American workers and American companies, you know, actually a large percentage of it, even though it's going to Ukraine, it'll get spent here. And it's like, well, let's stop doing the pass-through. Let's just give it to the folks that are their houses are underwater right now. right? They have no cars because they were floated away in these storms. So to me, it's just wild that you have this situation. And I do think a lot of people, because of alternative media, because of social media, I think that there is so much more dispersing of information and people see these things in real time. And I just think so many people say, WTF, what is going on here? And it's waking up so many people to how we're focused on these faraway lands rather than taking care of our own people here.
Well, the more a government betrays its own people, the more populist the people become. And populism is a fairly new political term since the 19th century politics. It came up as among academics as a form of, I don't know, politics or a political persuasion. But even if you go back and look at Rome or whatever, like when the Senate murdered Julius Caesar, they ran through the streets chanting that death to tyranny, tyranny has died, we've saved Rome, and the people were pissed. The senators were actually alarmed that the people weren't celebrating along with them, that they had killed the tyrant Julius Caesar. The next day, at the funeral pyre of Julius Caesar, they almost burned down the entire forum because the people were throwing their clothes and furniture onto the fire to make it burn the city. They were so mad that it happened, right? So they understood that the more corrupt the Senate was at the time, this is an example of that, the more populist the people became. I know Julius Caesar was a tyrant. I'm not for tyranny, but he was a populist tyrant. And they try to say that Donald Trump is a dictator or he's a Julius Caesar type figure. Obviously, he doesn't really want to be a dictator. Obviously, when he said that one comment about dictator on day one, it was tongue in cheek. It's very obvious for anyone who saw the clip, right? Similar to people who have seen the whole clip about the very fine people. If you watch the whole clip, you realize that he's not celebrating Nazis. Abundantly obvious. But we see that they are attempting to assassinate him officially two times. I think three times. I think in Tucson, there was an attempt as well. We can get into that another time. But does populism die if the deep state or the leftists succeed in taking Trump's life?
I think it would be a turning point. I think it'd be a moment. We'd have to see where it goes. I mean, let me be optimistic, but also offer something that's probably not good. Let's say Trump does win the White House. I mean, there's still going to be a hole that needs to be filled when he's gone.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, 2028, let's say J.D. Vance for some reason doesn't win. Do we get another neocon? Do we get another warmonger, a Bush-like person? I hope not, right? But I think this battle for the soul of the Republican Party, it is the battle, right? Now, listen, in the general election right now, I hate, like, when Mitt Romney and John McCain were running and people would say, this is the most important election of our lifetime.
Right.
BS. This election, I've never been the one to say it, but it's like, if you're looking for an election that will determine the future of the Republic.
Positively existential.
This is the one. I mean, could we have some sort of America, or could we have a country that resembles something like we'd want it to be in the future? Yeah, I mean, there could be turnarounds. Maybe it gets so bad that you have like a Javier Milei type moment where you got to bring in somebody. I mean, I kind of look at him as similar to Trump and just the chainsaw to the system. But man, it's going to be tough if we lose this one. And I think Trump, not only is it going to be tough if we lose, but if Trump wins, the chip he has on his shoulder after the Uniparty, after the deep state, the weaponization of government, if they've attempted his life. Remember, they weren't going to charge the guy. They charged him. They never impeached him. They impeached him. Right? They weren't going to find him guilty. They found him guilty. Now they're trying to kill the guy. Like, at a certain point, you got to have a chip on your shoulder. So I hope he follows Vivek Ramaswamy's advice. Cut 30% of this federal BS day one.
Well, the fact that he's reaching out to Elon to have a leadership role in a government efficiency department is very encouraging because we saw what Elon did to Twitter.
Right.
What did he cut the staff 80% or something?
On like day one.
And now they have more users than they've ever had before. I don't know if it's profitable or not because that information isn't public anymore since it's a private business. But if you're hiring that guy to come in and fix things up, there's obviously going to be major cuts. And then the left will say, oh, this is causing massive unemployment. It's like, well, these people should be working somewhere else anyway, right? So speaking of Josh Shapiro in PA, do you think Kamala Harris is regretting that she chose Tim Walz?
I think she chose Shapiro and he turned it down.
Really?
I really believe that. I think it was too easy
of a choice. Do you have inside info on that?
No, nothing. I mean, you know, aside from a couple cups of coffee and some, you know, Democrats that didn't get the contract with Harris that might be spilling some beans. They're not positive, but that is the rumor within the PA circle.
I don't want to be on a losing ticket.
Yeah, I mean, he's very talented. I will give him that. Now, he's my number one political enemy.
We should not underestimate our enemy.
Yeah, he is my number one political enemy in Pennsylvania. He's come after me, not just politically, but through the – I mean, I've had my time with Josh Shapiro. The guy can raise money. He can present himself to the moderate suburban women as a moderate, and he governs as if he's a radical communist.
Yeah.
It's the perfect combo.
And he looks great signing artillery shells.
Talk about a warmonger. Remember, there used to be a anti-war left. I always like to make sure we have that documented because it's extinct now. I think Josh Shapiro was offered it. I think he turned it down. I think he looked at the polling and said in 2028, he wants to be president. He doesn't want to be vice president. He's a very good politician. He's never lost a political race. He was state rep. He ran statewide. Then he ran for I mean, he's always raised more money than his opponents. He's just – he's very good. He's actually what the Democrats wanted from a Joe Biden or a Kamala Harris, right? Somebody that presents himself as moderate.
A Barack Obama 2.0.
Right. You can appeal or at least act or fake it like you're a moderate, but then when you govern or when you're the executive – you are radical, and you're all in for the hardcore left.
Right. And Barack Obama is a perfect example of this because even to discerning minds, he did an incredible job of making everyone feel like everything was okay. And you look at the details of the policies, you'd be like, this is disgusting and sick. But then he would talk about it, and you'd be like, it'll be all right.
Well, listen, I was in college when he was president, and I remember, like, I would catch myself, like, watching TV. And I'd just be enamored with, you know, him talking. He's just such a good orator.
Right.
Josh Shapiro is not Barack Obama level, but he's about as close as you can get in that when he talks to a room, he does connect, right? Us that follow politics, we can kind of see it and call out the BS. But he, when he works a room, he's very good. Most politicians are not good at working a room. I see these people, right? I watch them out in the wilderness, and you either get pumped up by it and you connect, or it kind of, you know, you get... you lose energy. He is definitely one of those. He connects in every room he's in, even if it's not a room full of Democrats, he's able to connect with the audience.
Well, speaking of charisma, why is it that so many of the Republican leaders fall into that category of just totally lacking in charisma? I mean, I'm with you. I've been in rooms with state-level politicians and now congressmen and senators. Some of them just suck to be around. How is it that these people get into power if no one likes them?
And the toughest thing is some of the best votes are the worst personalities.
So like,
I'm like, listen, I don't care how you are working a room. Just make sure you keep winning. But your voting record is fantastic. Look, I think there's a change happening in politics. I think the left has seen it. That's why they get the candidates they get, because it's almost like an audition, right? How does AOC get elected to Congress? Okay, because if people can talk and they can connect. Look, you might hate AOC's policies.
She can eat an apple through a picket fence.
She's an attractive, connecting young woman who speaks
pickles right out of the jar, Cliff.
Who speaks with tenacity. We don't have that on the right, right? There's not a lot of people that step up that have kind of that personality. And I think that it will change over the next, you know, couple decades, because it used to always be about backgrounds and resumes. And I think more today it's who can present themselves. I mean, Matt Gaetz is a great orator. Matt Gaetz is a great debater. He's somebody that can go after somebody and he can really own them on the merits of the debate. We need more like that. We need more people who are willing to go to war. I mean,
and not just politicians, too, like the Posobiecs and others, too. Incredibly talented at understanding what will go viral when, how to frame a narrative, what to attack. A lot of people, individuals that are not formally part of the political establishment, are now involved and engaged in a way that without them, I think victory would be impossible.
Well, I still think this election, the biggest thing that will move the needle is alternative media and social media. I think people are not turning on their TV and listening to Lester Holt talk about his one-way narrative of the world. Right.
It's boring. Wolf Blitzer? I hardly know her. The guy's so boring. I had a dog that looked like him. That was the only reason I watched. I couldn't believe it.
Call him Wolf?
Wolfie was the dog's name.
Oh, my gosh. So I think this is the first cycle where that is going to have a tremendous impact. You're going to have a lot of people getting – and look, I'm not saying more information is always better in terms of that it's correct information. But when more information is dispersed, we believe in free speech, people can at least hear differing viewpoints and make their decisions. And I think that so many of these, just even TikTok or Instagram Reels – These 30-second to 60-second clips, they're connecting and creating a narrative for people. And I think overall, if you just take authenticity of Donald Trump and J.D. versus Harris and Walz, I don't think it's close. I think that when people see Donald Trump, he's a rich billionaire, but he connects 10 times better than the other ticket just by talking to people. Think about this. When's the last time you saw an interaction with Kamala Harris just talking to somebody that's a worker at a restaurant or just talking to somebody who's working a counter at a hotel check-in. I mean, Trump has these videos up every day.
Right.
Right.
And she shows up on the border with a $62,000 Tiffany necklace on. It's like, are you stupid? You think anybody likes to see that from our political class when they're struggling in every facet of their lives right now, when bankruptcies are up 21% year over year, when credit card debt is through the roof? There she is in the necklace right there on screen with her fake piece of paper and her fake headphones not plugged into the phone. I mean, I think people, regardless of how smart or astute they are about politics, are really intimately aware, which is how, I mean, this is the first time in this video clip right here you're watching that she's ever been in a gas station.
Well, the best part about the Sheetz episode is the Biden administration is suing Sheetz. Are you familiar with this?
No, let's get more into it on the other side, though. We've only got 15 seconds left. Folks, please go to PAChase.com, support Cliff and the work he's doing. Let's win Pennsylvania. And go to TheAlexJonesStore.com, please, to keep Alex Jones on the air no matter what happens.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. TheAlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays on the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
The eugenicists over 100 years ago were very public about their plans. They financed major universities. They ran full-page stories and advertisements pushing their propaganda in the New York Times, other major newspapers, that the family as we know it is a bad thing and must be ended. And the first step in that is getting women out of the household and teaching women that cooking dinner and taking care of your sons and daughters and husbands is a bad thing. And I was just sitting here tonight making dinner for my daughter, my 4.5-year-old daughter. My wife makes dinner a lot of times, but I like to make it as well. I love to make breakfast. And literally, it's the funnest thing on earth to make food for your family and be nutritive and then all sit down together and have that communal event. And that's what the system is attacking and bombarding, is our normal biological actions are coming together. They really are sick, evil, scientific cult of filth that want to domesticate us and turn us into lab rats. We cannot let this continue.
Let me take some brain force, and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course, InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra, it's now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI's now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label it from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD
test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Chase Geyser presents the American Journal, capturing the spirit of the times on InfoWars.
Folks, welcome back to the American Journal. I am joined by Cliff Maloney, who is the founder of the Pennsylvania Chase, an initiative aimed at matching the Democrats' tactics for mail-in ballot success and securing a significant victory for liberty-loving Republicans in the 2024 election. Cliff, as soon as you brought up the fact that you had several Airbnbs in PA and that you had over 120 people on the ground knocking doors, I immediately thought of one of my favorite comedians, Tim Dillon, who is banned from Airbnb for a dispute with some lesbians who owned the property because he didn't do the cleaning he was supposed to do, and then they fined him $200 or $400. Wow. And then he's, yeah.
What a
he's
patriot.
Banned. He's banned.
Patriot.
So as soon as you mentioned that you were in Airbnb, I was like, that's not going to last long. So how's that been?
So we have 10 Airbnbs across PA. And listen, you know, we at Citizens Alliance, we do door knocking programs. So we have to keep a good relationship with Airbnb because we're in random areas supporting patriots. We have 10 of them across Pennsylvania. But last week we had this incident, this blow up that usually when money is involved, people keep politics aside. And so we had an Airbnb in Philadelphia. Don't worry, we weren't knocking Philly. We were knocking Bucks County. But they were in Philadelphia, and the host was living next door, so he must own both places. We had 8 of our guys and girls in this house, and they come back from a day of ballot chasing. They knock from 10 to 7. It's a little after 7 at night, and they have the Pennsylvania Chase on their T-shirt. And he just asks, you know, innocently, hey, what's the Pennsylvania Chase? I see you guys are all wearing that. They said, oh, we're knocking doors for Trump. Chase, he gets irate.
He blew up right in front of him?
Doesn't say anything, just like moans and groans, yeah. Slams the door, goes inside. An hour later, we get a cancellation notice. Now, listen, we have been there for 2 weeks. We had it booked through the election, November 5th.
Right.
So Airbnb.
That's a lot of money he's just given away.
$5,000 he gave up just out of his hatred for Trump. These are insane people. They're not well. They belong in a mental prison for like how much they just cannot stay. Archman bad. This, I'll give Airbnb credit because at first they said, hey, it's been canceled. You have to be out that night. And we're like, it's like 8:30 when we get this alert. Luckily, a patriot stepped up. We have new housing with them, and that all worked out. But I'll give Airbnb credit. It didn't happen until Breitbart wrote the story. It blew up on Post Millennial, went everywhere. They not only refund us for the time that he canceled, but because of the bad PR, guess what? And this is why patriots out there need to speak up as much as they can on some of these DEI and all these woke corporations, because they react to bad press. They refunded us for the 2 weeks we were even there.
That's awesome.
And said, listen, we're sorry about all this. That. Now, we still might take legal action for discrimination against this Airbnb host, who's a radical commie. We're right. Seeing about that. But I do want to give credit to Airbnb for at least stepping up after the pressure to offer the refund.
Well, you know, I'm just thinking rationally here. If it was an election season and I lived in a swing state and I owned an Airbnb property and I noticed that somebody was booking a property through November 6th.
Right.
I might ask them before I booked them,
right.
What are you guys coming here for? Because, to be fair, if somebody was going to stay in my house to knock doors for Kamala Harris, I would say you should probably find another house. I don't think I would kick them out that night. You know, maybe right. I give them a week or whatever, be like, get out of here. But that's just asinine that he didn't put it together.
Yeah, and I think that's what the left has become today. And listen, this is why there are assassination attempts on Trump. Because the left and the media portray this guy to be the devil. They portray him to be Hitler. And when you portray him to be the enemy of democracy, well, what do you do with an enemy? You eliminate it.
Right.
You take him out.
And they even use the word exterminate, eliminate. They use Nazi vernacular to describe how they should deal with him. I mean, they've even literally said that he needs to take a bullet to put a bullet in his. I mean, it's disgusting.
The nice thing I will say, usually when I'm doing door knocking, I'm talking to Republican voters in a primary, trying to get them to support the America First Patriot. That's supporting liberty over the rhino incumbent, you know, right. Scumbag who's got a horrible voting record but says he's conservative. Or I'm in a general election talking to swing voters. The doors, while the Airbnb host is not pleasant, the doors are great.
everybody we're talking to, they're Republicans, right? Because remember, we're knocking 500,000 doors talking to Republicans that have a ballot saying, hey, send back your ballot. And those conversations are great. So the 120 patriots on the ground, I would say, I'm not the one making the difference. You know, I'm going out and getting their sponsorships, but they're the ones out there, the conversations they're having. Okay. And I got to give you one anecdote that's been wild. We have taken applications for door knockers since 2014. I've been doing this, these paid ground games. I have never seen black and Hispanic applications, right? Like, for, you know, everyone, oh, look at the polling, this and this. And there's, yeah, they're incorrect, but I'm seeing it, right? And so we have black door knockers going into some of these black areas talking to Republicans, but I've just never seen that type of support. And I think that needs to be shared, that this is not just, you know, oh, the people wearing bow ties. No offense. I know we have some photos taken with us in bow ties, but this is not like your typical political movement. This is all types of people coming together and really just being for Trump, but really for saving the republic. And my plug to everybody out there, if you want to sponsor a ballot chaser, a full day of ballot chasing costs $175. All of that money, there's no margins, there's no commissions, 100% of that goes to the ballot chaser's pay, their housing, or their gas cards. At phchase.com, $175. I cannot tell you, we've had over 3,000 patriots step up to be sponsors. It has been wonderful, and the America First movement is alive and well.
Well, I wanted to add, that brings me to a nice question, because I've had people that reach out to me asking what to do to get money, and obviously my thing is, the best way to save this republic, I always say, is go to InfoWarsStore.com, keep us on the air, go to the AlexJonesStore.com, and keep Alex on the air. But in terms of deciding whether to give money to the Republican Party or to give money to a Republican candidate, even if it's the Trump campaign directly, what is the case for giving to PHase.com instead of these legacy institutions? Not that Trump's campaign is a legacy institution, but instead of the party that seems to have failed us so much. How does your money have more of an impact if you give to PHase.com compared to an actual campaign committee or party itself?
Well, I do have to give a lot of credit to Whatley and Laura Trump, because under the RNC now, it's a completely different game. You know, if you would have told me 2020, I would have said, don't give a penny to Ron and McDaniel. Don't give a penny to these consultants who are taking 20, 30% commissions on million-dollar TV buys, right? So the money that goes to us, like I said, it goes directly toward an individual who's on the ground 6 days a week, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., talking to Republican voters. And I got to say this number again. 141,000 Republicans in 2020 requested a ballot, never sent it back. We fix that, we'd be in the White House right now.
Yeah.
And so I try to tell people, there's a lot of good organizations, there's a lot of great campaigns, everybody needs money in different pockets. But that's my pitch for PHase at phase.com, is your money goes directly towards solving the problem that wins us PA, which will win us the White House.
Absolutely. So let's switch gears a little bit. What do you think is going to happen tonight at this debate between Walz and J.D. Vance?
I think the biggest thing is, we have to manage expectations better. This has been, you know, and that's political operative speak. I don't really like it, but it's the truth. I think Trump got an A in the debate, last debate, and Harris got a C. But the problem is, everybody said Harris was going to get an F. So all of a sudden, the media can spin it. Oh, you know, look, she did okay.
Right. She did much better than we thought. Ukraine is still alive, barely.
I would not underestimate Tim Walz, period. I think he is somebody that people, you have to give him the at least the benefit of the doubt. He's going to come. He's going to be prepared. And I think J.D. Vance, to me, J.D. Vance is going to save this country. Trump will get in. I think Vance is president for 8 years. I truly believe that. And I think other VP candidates, that would have not been the case. I don't think Tim Walz is going to be president. But I think that you have a situation where J.D. Vance has to just give people the message. And he's been on message. Look at all of his interviews.
They're great.
I mean, he goes in with these lefty scumbag reporters and just lets them have it. I think he comes tonight with the facts, he comes tonight with the truth, and I think his authenticity will show. Hillbilly elegy, a lot of these things that, you know, people say, oh, you built something from nothing. He's the real story. He's not some script that's been written by a political consultant.
Right, he's not a focus group candidate.
To try to sell us on, oh, there's the American dream here. No, he is the American dream. He is a real story of coming from nothing, being in a drug-ridden community, going to Yale Law School. That is nuts. I come from the suburbs of Philadelphia. My hometown, there's a lot of great people. Blue-collar workers are fighting. We are ridden with drugs in my community.
Sure.
I've got family members,
many of the documentaries made about the opioid crisis take place around Philly.
Right. And it's just, I mean, you know, I don't think people understand how many families are hit by the opioid crisis, and that J.D. Vance represents hope.
Yeah.
And that is something that if he can talk about that tonight and present it to the American people when he has such a large audience, I think it's a winning message.
Do you have any concerns about J.D. Vance because of some of the comments that he made 8 years ago about Trump?
No. I don't. I think
my question really more specifically is, what do you think happened to switch? Because I haven't heard him address his change of heart about Trump.
Well, I've had a change of heart about Trump.
Yeah.
I'll be honest about that. You know, I worked for Rand Paul in 2016, and I was all in on Rand Paul being president.
I never make fun of your appearance, but believe me, there's plenty of material.
Plenty of material there. Gotta love Rand. He's a patriot. But I think I had a change of heart. Not that I was anti-Trump. But so many people for years would tell us they're going to go in, they're going to be a disruptor, and then they become part of the Uniparty. He didn't. He started no new wars. He cut regulations. Now, there was spending under COVID that sure. I'll criticize anybody. But I think that those changes can be real. And when you look at his record, I tell people the moment for me, I've had people come after me criminally. I've had people come after me civilly. I've had election commissions, the FEC, the Pennsylvania Board of Elections. I've had complaints ever. I beat it all. Beat it all. But when you go through that process, it changes a man. When you go through that process, it makes you say, man, who are these people and why are they targeting someone? And when they targeted Donald Trump, okay, I've always done door knocking, a lot of times state races, some congressional. Never, never thought that I would be the guy all in running an effort to try to chase ballots in Pennsylvania for a presidential candidate. But the reason I'm all in is because this is the Uniparty versus we the people. This is the military-industrial complex versus blue-collar workers. And if anybody's on the sidelines, libertarian, independent, constitutional party, this is the time. This is the moment. This is the election to step up and give an FU and a middle finger to the Uniparty by voting for Donald Trump. That is why I'm all in. I think J.D. Vance saw his record. I think J.D. Vance saw his actions, and J.D. Vance sees who his opponents are.
Right.
And he came to that conclusion the same way I did.
Well, after you spend a little time in leadership in D.C., you really look into the eyes of the beast, and when you realize the extent of the problem, it would make sense that you would be like, okay, the only way we're going to fix this is somebody like Trump who doesn't give a damn. You know, there's no reason whatsoever for him to want to be the president of the United States. It's caused nothing but problems and trouble for him. I think he's one of two examples of presidents of the United States who have left office with a lower net worth than when they entered office. So one of the most brazen examples of this is the fact that he did not take his $400,000 a year salary.
Right.
I mean, he technically was paid it because you legally have to be, and then he immediately gave it away to veterans and other institutions, where we have Joe Biden taking record numbers of days of vacations on the beach while he's clearly losing his mind. He's been paid $1.6 million to go to the beach. Donald Trump didn't take any of that money whatsoever. That alone should be enough. I am surprised that any president of the United States takes any salary after that precedent has been set by Trump to just not take it.
Yeah, and like I said, I think his record shows he's a man of the people.
Yeah.
And look at the TV ads. It's still these 30 seconds of just, he's not for women's rights and, he's evil.
They claim that IVF's illegal, but I've never, ever once met somebody who has needed fertility treatment and been unable to get it.
To me, it's such just these surface level talking points that don't connect with anybody. And that's why I tell you this. If she wins, I'm not saying today that I'm getting out of politics, but if she wins, I will really lose hope in the American public. I really will. I think it is so clear that she believes in nothing. It is so clear that she's just the puppet. And if people really think that Donald Trump is so evil that you would put somebody like her in there just to say, oh, I'm anti-Trump, I don't know how you get those people to learn anything in the next couple years or the next decade to try to save the country.
Cliff, I just had an idea. What if we made a fake Kamala Harris ad, 30 seconds, 1 minute long, and it's a woman holding a screaming kid, and she's saying, like, thanks to Trump's ban on abortion, I had to have this kid, and the kid's got, like, a binky in it and screaming, and she's stressed out. And, like, because they've tried to have examples of these people come out and say that they almost died because they couldn't get the abortion they needed because they had a medical issue with their miscarriage, or that they under Trump, they wouldn't be able to have the kid that they had via in vitro fertilization. But they don't ever show an ad of a woman holding her child, wishing that she had been able to give it get an abortion. Because that doesn't happen. After the kid's born, there's, you know, a shift. People realize, what if we made a fake ad that was just 30 seconds of a woman like, I wish I could have killed this kid when I had the chance, but thanks to Trump, here he is in my life.
I think that would penetrate. I think the moment in the debate I wish Trump would have forced her to answer is when he said, I think this is the best question anybody that's arguing the abortion issue should ask. Should you be able to kill a baby? Should you be able to abort a baby at 9 months?
She didn't answer it. You're right.
She didn't answer. And I think that really gets to the heart of it. And I think Trump's response is right when he says, well, we returned it to the states. For 50 years, people wanted it to go back to the states.
Right. If you got a problem, take it to your governor.
Right. That should be, you know, what it is. But the 9 month question is the question that no Democrat wants to answer. Would you abort a baby at 9 months? That's the question. And if the answer is yes, I don't think we're the same people. I think that that is horrific. And I think that that is something that no civilized, you know, society would say.
Yeah, absolutely. It's disgusting. And I'm someone who has become much more conservative on the pro-life issue since my youth. In college, I was a little bit more liberal, as most people are in college, on that specific issue because I didn't really understand it. And I didn't understand the threat of depopulation. I'm really with Elon Musk when he talks about how depopulation is one of our greatest risks. Nobody talks about it. Even Chuck Schumer has come out and said that we are not producing enough Native Americans, and he's used that as an excuse to allow these migrants to come in because they're wanting to replace a labor force that we're simply not growing here. We're not breeding here, for lack of a better term. And this depopulation crisis is huge. So even regardless of how you feel about the sanctity of life and human being with a soul at conception or not, the fact that we're allowing millions upon millions of unborn Americans to be aborted when we face this existential threat that is depopulation seems to me abundantly anti-human.
Well, I think Elon Musk really educated me on this. You know, I was not really following, you know, you hear all these things, oh, you know, we're overpopulated. And I think he really shined a light on this, you know, that it is a major problem.
Right.
But because the Dems have used it as an excuse for migration, it has become this thing where now they feel like they have to defend that. And it's like, no, the numbers clearly show us we need more people.
Yeah. I remember being in third grade going on a field trip to see Bill Nye the Science Lie perform at an auditorium.
Bill.
It was awesome because he was, you know, doing planets and rockets and shit. And he was talking about how by the time you are my age, the population of the world's going to be 9 billion. And everyone was like, whoa, such a big number. Well, and it's really just BS. There is so, people don't have any idea how huge this planet is. They don't realize that if you take the lowest point of the planet and the highest point of the planet and you scale it down and to the point where it's the size of a bowling ball and you drag your finger across it, our planet is so big in circumference that it would be smoother than a professional grade bowling ball. That's how giant this planet is. And we can fly across. We have amazing technology. We can fly across the planet within 24 hours. We think of it as this small, accessible little island. It is giant. And so these claims of climate change, yes, I'm sure climate change is real to some extent. I'm sure people are even having an impact to some extent, but it's not to the extent that they claim. And they're not claiming so because they care about the planet. They're just using it as an excuse to fund organizations that they're personally invested in. The green energy stuff is all a lie. If we go off fossil fuels, the whole entire economy collapses because our money's based on the exchange of oil being used in dollar denomination. So it's just the end of the world stuff. But they don't understand this planet has so much room for people. And if a population is not growing, then it is dying. And the wise words of Frank Underwood from House of Cards, treading water is the same as drowning.
Well, I'll say the green scam. It's funny. It's another Underwood quote. When the tit's that big, everybody gets in line.
Yeah,
that's what happens in D.C. I mean, I always say when Democrats are pushing something, follow the money, number one, and then ask why. Right. Why are they doubling down on something? Because somebody's getting paid somewhere. I mean, it is the greatest distribution or redistribution of wealth, what we do with the federal government. And you're right. When I worked on the Hill, my gosh, the cesspool of these lobbyists coming in and everybody's pushing something. And obviously they have their narrative.
Yeah.
Right. Here's why it's better for people. Here's why it's better for the country. Here's why it's better for you as an elected official to support this. No, somebody's getting paid. Right. That's why these lobbyists are making $500,000 to $1 million a year. Selling out the American people.
Do you think the lobbyists or the insider trading are a greater problem?
I think the lobbyists are because they create the culture, but the insider trading is one of the most corrupt things out there.
Unbelievable.
How in the world can you invest in the businesses that you regulate?
I mean, that to me, I'm totally with Matt Gaetz on this. He is my congressman. I tell people that, like, when we look back, this will either get fixed or we'll lose the Republic at some point. But people look back and say, how in the world did we let them get away with that? You know, now listen, 50, 60 years ago, you couldn't make electronic trades, right? So you couldn't be sitting in a meeting, shoot a text to your buddy, and then at 3 o'clock when, you know, the regulation changes, you're getting paid.
Right.
But it is wild how much, look at how much these people are worth when they come in office versus leave. I mean, they make $174,000 a year.
A simple policy change of, you know, your trade request as a politician will only be actualized in 30 days from request. Little things like that would make a big difference.
Right. And it needs to happen.
Unbelievable. So what do you think about the future of America in terms of civil war? We've seen the propaganda come out with the Civil War movie. We've seen rhetoric from the left about escalation and civil war preparedness. Do you think that a Kamala Harris victory not necessarily would catalyze a civil war in the next 8 years, but ensure that one happens this century?
I think that it's not her, it's her policies, right? I think that what happens is, I think the biggest thing that we have going for us is that the U.S. dollar is the world's reserve currency. And I think at a certain point, if we continue spending the way we spend, if the Fed continues to print money, which we need to abolish the Fed immediately, eventually we're going to get to a point where we're not going to be the world's reserve currency. And I think that food is what leads to civil war, food and money, right? I mean, the basic human needs. And if you continue these Democrat policies, and by the way, these are not just Democrat policies. The Republican establishment is a major driver in this. I mean, when we talk about the Uniparty, that is what's happening. They're spending all of our money. Eventually, we lose the world's reserve currency. And then I think you get into this situation. I think the actual thing that causes it is when you tell a redneck in Alabama that he's got to bail out California. When you tell somebody in Texas, hey, listen,
You tell anyone in America they've got to bail out Ukraine.
But they're doing a good enough job now. Like I said, they have their narratives on why it's important. But when you get to a point where some of these states start defaulting, because once we're not the world's currency, once we can't just print things and then the states have problems, people are going to say, no. I don't want a penny of my money that I'm working 80 hours a week, manual labor, to bail out those elitists out in California or up in New York. That's when I think things get dicey. Do I think it happens in the next 100 years? I think it depends on where we go after this election. Seriously.
Yeah, me too.
Do we scale back government and return power to the people, or do we continue to be in this, you know, kind of world where the politicians are rulers and dictate things over us and destroy our money? Follow the money. The money is what will dictate peace in America.
Well, that brings me to my next question. When I look at history, I can't think of an example where any civilization had corruption to this degree and peacefully reversed it. Do you think that it is possible to peacefully reverse the corruption that we're having right now?
I think there's a lot of hope for that. I think right now there's a situation where, you know, I do think that we have a peaceful society in terms of our electoral politics. Okay. I don't know if we continue on the path that we're on, that there's a way that this doesn't end in violence. And that's not me fear-mongering. I'm not trying to, you know, get people.
Right. Obviously, we're not advocating for violence either. We're just talking about inevitabilities.
Right. I think that if you get to a point where the money that you work for is worthless, people are going to react. They got to feed their kids. Right. If, you know, there's foreclosures on mortgages across the country, people are not just going to say, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to eat this week. And so I think the policies that we have right now of overspending, the policies we have of being in 120 countries with 900 bases around the world, thinking that we can run this empire, eventually the checks aren't going to get cashed. And when they do, people are going to react. They're going to defend their families. They're going to defend their property. And I think that, yeah, there could be an inevitable issue where we have to take up violence.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is Cliff Maloney. He is an American hero. It's an honor and a pleasure to have had you in the studio this morning. Please go to PAChase.com. That's PAChase.com and sponsor a door knocker for a day. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Get the Life Select storable food because we know there's major strikes going on at all the ports and we could have shortages just like we had during COVID. And go to the AlexJonesStore.com to get great shirts, enter to win this amazing truck, and keep Alex Jones broadcasting no matter what happens to InfoWars. These things, I know they feel like expenses, going to PAChase.com and sponsoring a door knocker for a day for $175. I know that things are tight. I know that inflation is terrible. I know that you're struggling. I'm struggling. We're struggling. Everyone is in the same boat. But they're not expenses. These are investments. And if you think things are tough now, just imagine how tough they will be if we lose this election on November 5th. Cliff and his work is absolutely imperative to the success of the salvation of this republic. Please go to PHase.com right now. It's not an expense. It's an investment in your future and our future as a nation. And frankly, the future of humanity, because we know that leftists just want to depopulate and conduct anti-human behavior and policy to maximize as much satanic suffering as possible. Go to PHase.com right now. Save the republic. Go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and prepare for the inevitable shortages, and go to TheAlexJonesStore.com right now and save Alex Jones.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. TheAlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word of the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsored InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward. If we've got to set up a new operation, and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up. But I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
Please listen closely, because this is life-changing critical information. The globalists are bombarding us with toxic chemicals hitting us in the air, the water, the food, the 5G, the poison shots, the shedding, the GMO, all of it. But God's given us compounds through nature that do incredible things in our body. And one of the most important, if not the most important, is vitamin B12. We've got the best organic vitamin B12, Ultra 12, a bestseller finally back in stock after close to a year being sold out. You take it under the tongue for better absorption, and it's 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. So go to InfoWarsStore.com right now. Get your Ultra 12 and other great products and for 40% off. Some products are even more, and it keeps the show on the air. That is a 360 win. The only way you lose is not taking action. I thank you all for your support, being part of this fight. Now go to InfoWarsStore.com right now.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.